We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes,
and all the stuff in between. That's where all the goodies are, right?
I'm just glad I can say it this week.
Yeah, I know. We have sight, sound, scenes. Everybody sounds good. Everybody's clear. I can see everybody. And Steve can see. He can speak. He's got it all going on this week. Lucky, yes. Lucky. It's going to be a long night, John.
Yeah.
Nothing's slowing him down now.
Nope. That's it. 2 weeks worth of energy.
Oh, God.
Ripped, yeah. And ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, man. There go my dogs. So, everybody have a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Busy. Yeah,
big, but all good. Week. Did you get a chance to listen to today's Takeover Tuesday?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, you did, John?
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing. Well, because it was only an hour and a half. That's usually what I get through most of the other shows.
I know.
Unfortunately,
yeah, exactly.
That's only halfway.
Yeah. Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got.
I mean, it's very cool. I mean, you and I were saying just before we came on air when we did that how what a moving story it is. But also, if I may publicly to say how well I thought you did with the interview as well. And as I said, I thought it was brilliant. You just started with how big's the TV, and then began with, and then kind of just dispensed with that, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
And you know, out of your comfort zone, not only in terms of the type of interview, but obviously the subject matter as well. And again,
yeah,
and I talked about that ages ago. So I know it's difficult to even talk about, let alone to do it and then kind of get into the nitty gritty of it and also help to tease out somebody else's experience of what happened. And yet you did that brilliantly. It was really good. Really, really good interview.
Thank you. She's a public speaker. Mike hasn't until this year, I didn't know if he was going to be only on our show or he had actually done some other stuff the week before. He sat down with her for some of the news stations too, but he's a very private guy, but you can hear listening to him. He's a great guy. He's super, like, that's the most I've ever heard him talk and how happy and everything, you know, he's just a fun, funny guy. Like I said to you before, it's difficult because it was being recorded, right? And it's like, I've talked to her about this in the past. We've been to some of her speaking engagements when she started around here and we wanted to support her. So we'd go to them. My wife hired her for quite a few times, through the school and through other events to speak to students and stuff. And she'd, you know, full auditorium and she's up there speaking. So I've heard her talk about it. But there were some things in there in the podcast that I was like, I didn't know that part of it. It's when you hit record and you're taking something like that and going, we're going to record this and put it out. And it just feels weird, but,
But you did, what I liked about it is it clearly wasn't scripted. You weren't working from a list of questions. You weren't kind of trying to keep it that way. It was really free and easy. And that's the only way to do something as difficult as that. Just jump right in, hit record, let's go. And let's just go where it takes us. So, yeah, I mean, it was, again, you could hear that it was difficult subject matter, but you know, really an interesting interview and an amazing person. And Mike's obviously true blue hero. Still a word for it, and it's an overused word, but the guy deserves it, and so does she. Just incredible.
And it's, you know, but and I said it to her. I don't know if it got into the podcast or not, but you're a reflection. Your friends are a reflection of you, right? And she kept saying over and over how great her friends were to her, and I'm like, I know. I mean, just listening to her, you know. She'd do the same thing if it was any one of them, she'd be, you know, so. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And after I keep saying that, but I don't know what else to say, right? Because that's what we have here is fun. So you're like, it was, but yeah, after that, I really wanted to make it a bigger deal and to thank the listeners, because the responses I've gotten so far, and even beforehand, people knew what the subject matter was going to be. And, I knew, like I said to everybody, I opened the show with, you know, I did that preamble or whatever you want to call it. And I said, you know, thanks for clicking on this, because it's not home theater related and it's not, but it's the listeners that gave me the confidence. Like a year ago, I probably wouldn't have done that. I'd be like, nah, you know, it doesn't make sense. This is a home theater podcast, but as much as I wanted to do it, but because of the, you know, the way people have been receptive to other things and we've done other, you know, we've branched out in other directions. So I figured it would be a good opportunity, but I wanted to make the show a bigger show, even bigger, and thank the listeners and stuff and bring people in and find a way to generate more for the Heather Abbott Foundation. And so I reached out to SVS and talked to Nick, and I basically everything I just said here, I said to him, like, how can we make this bigger? I go, I really like, and he goes, oh, well, just here you go. He goes, take these, donate these. And it's the Prime Wireless sub speakers. Sorry, not sub, Prime Wireless powered speakers. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, he goes, no problem. And he goes, just, you know, do what you want with them. And, you know, I go, well, how about we raffle them off and blah, blah, blah. And I explained everything. And he's like, yeah, that's perfect. And he goes, whatever name you have, he goes, just tell me what it is and we'll ship. They're going to ship them. So I was like, oh, all right. So then that's why I had to go back and put that in at the end of the show. Yeah, let me I have it here? Let me see. I think I have it. There you go. That's them right there. The Prime Wireless Pro Power. That way I don't have to remember off the top of my head. It's right there.
Yeah, I gotta get off this show so I can get some of these cool giveaways.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they're $900 and they're like, yeah, give these out. So we're gonna raffle them off in 2 weeks. For people that haven't heard that podcast, but what you have to do to get into the raffle is you have to have listened to the podcast. And of course, in true Brightside fashion, there's a code word in there. You have to email me at dj@brightsidehometheater.com. Email me the code word that gets you an entry. But if you want 5 entries, every donation, regardless of the amount, directly to the Heather Abbott Foundation, just send me a receipt of that or screen grab of, you know, directly at it. And the links are in the show notes. They're in this show notes. They're in the other, in Takeover Tuesday's show notes. You can click on the link, go directly, donate whatever amount you want directly to her. Just let me know and you get 5 entries into the Prime Wireless powered speaker pair. I'm reading it off the screen from SVS. But yeah, so... And that's going to run for 2 weeks. So next week, we're giving out the sofa baton. The week after that, we're giving out these bad boys. So we're just giving crap away, guys. Look at us. John's like,
that's what I'm saying. I got to get off of
this. I want to be a listener.
Yeah. John's going to be unwell next week.
I need a remote.
I need a remote. I need speakers. Yeah. So, yeah, but these, the link for these these Prime Wireless speakers are in the show notes too, but they're like, you can actually connect these are the new ones that you can use the HDMI input on the back of them. They added that so you can connect them to your television and then use them just as your front channel speakers. So that's pretty cool. Cause I'm using the Soundbase and, I use, because I have Aris speakers that he built me, but it's the same thing. And I use that as my main speakers for my TV now. So the SVS Prime Soundbase or whatever I think that's what it's called. But look at me. Yeah. I'm really good at supporting this stuff, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, check that out. Check out the podcast if you haven't heard it yet. It's an amazing story, and you can get a chance to win a pair of speakers. So, really proud of that one. Really excited about that. So, you know, hopefully we can do well for Heather Abbott and everything that she does. And the link for her foundation are in the show notes, so you can see read more about her and Roseanne too. So. All right. Anything else, guys? We got what else do we have? Here we go. Let me go to the notes.
I say we have show notes.
I know. I get all, you know what's so funny is I get all flustered. I get all excited and everything, and then I sit here and go, "What are we going to do?" I'm like, cuz I want to get we got so much to get to. I'm going to skip the dream that I wrote down. Maybe I'll save it for next week, but it is pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know about the American Pie bit in it, Deej. You should have left that alone, man. I don't know what that was all about. It's very strange.
We have no new patrons this week, but we are we have no new patrons this week. We are up to actually, we did get a donation. I it came in. I just saw it briefly before we hit record or hit play on this. We got donation from Danny Speakers. So that puts us well over 200. Believe me, well over 200, because he donated quite a bit. So regardless if it went to a box of popcorn for this week anyways, this is why and this is part of the reason why I want people to donate directly to Heather Abbott, is because say you donated to us this week and you bought us a box of popcorn for, more than $1, more than $10, whatever. You just want to give money to the foundation. Okay. You can do it through a box of popcorn this week. And 100% of our donations this week are going to the foundation, Heather Abbott Foundation. But the week after that is a new month. And that money is going to be going towards a different charity. So that's why I want to encourage people to go directly to the Heather Abbott Foundation and do it there, because a week from now, you're still eligible next week, but it's a different month. So I want that going there. So if you can kind of get that, if you understand that. So, but yeah, so we are definitely already donating well over $200. This just as the podcast alone is going. So, and then once those donations come in, hopefully we'll see more and more, whether it came from boxes of popcorn or people donate directly. And that's also for the, you get the sofa baton as well, entries into that. And we have quite a few in there. Code word, this week, we're not going to hide it. Everybody knows what's going on. John, you want to let everybody know, especially Steve. I'm not sure he's familiar with this code word.
He is. It's McClunky.
There you go.
Shouldn't it be Han shot first?
Han shot first.
Yeah,
exactly. Now you're going to confuse everybody. I'm going to get all these emails. Han shot first. That's it's not McClunky. Even a word. McClunky. Yeah. So let everybody know in our little text chain where I'm like, oh, it's got to be McClunky, because we haven't done a Star Wars reference yet. And I happen to put it out on Mandalorian
Wednesday
day, yeah. On Wednesday, and Steve's like, I haven't seen it yet. John and I are like, oh.
I just thought it must have come back somewhere. They've just dropped it in there as a bit of a joke, and then
well, that's what was
the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, yeah. And what was funny, and that's going to come up later, John, I think, if we remember to talk about it. It was none of us had seen the show yet,
right?
Mandalorian. It was later in the day. For you, it was almost nighttime. You hadn't seen it yet. For us, it was afternoon, and we hadn't seen it yet. And we the three of us were laughing. We're like, how funny would it be if it was in there? Which is like, right. Oh, well. But it wasn't. I was looking for it. But so, yeah, the fourth and final code word for the sofa baton is McClunky. So.
But it's got to be spelled correctly, obviously. Otherwise, you know, if you put M-A-C instead of M-C, then, you know, it's just not going to work.
Mac
M little C.
Yeah. That's not being really pedantic how it's spelled.
Yeah. And you know what else? While we're at the giveaways here, we haven't done this in a while. Let's see. Where are they? I know. It's been weeks.
Yeah, I've forgotten.
I know. I know. So. Here we go. we've got new to the digital giveaways. We have John Wick, John Wick 2, John Wick 3, Top Gun, Saving Private Ryan, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre, both in a Blu-ray digital.
Somebody bought a box set.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah.
Well, here's what's interesting. It's the same person. These are everything I've listed so far has been donated by Ryan Loper. And he gave us the Blu-ray digital codes and the 4K digital codes. And what's interesting is both of, I think you get 4K regardless, right? Don't you always just get the highest possible?
I think iTunes upgrades everything to 4K if you have digital through them. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works. But.
So basically, I mean, it's either one, either or. So yeah. So we have two copies of that box set of the, James Bond set. And then we also have the Rocky collection from, this one's from Mark Hader, the Rocky collection 1, 2, 3, 4 and Rocky versus Drago. So the, you know, the 5 movie set right there. So all digital codes. So those are the newest ones. If anybody's interested, all there's no code words, just be the first person to let me know you want those. And they shall be yours. All right. It's been a while since we've given those away.
Yeah.
I feel better now, though. I feel like looser.
You feel
freer.
Lighter. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, boy, are we ready to get to this week's Tweak of the Week?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, guys. Are your surround speakers important? Hmm? Does it matter that they match your other channels?
Does for me.
I mean, it does for me as well, but I don't think it actually matters as long as they're all the same.
Yeah. Are we talking sonically or aesthetically? Or aesthetically?
Well, that's the... Well, here's the thing. Honestly, I was so surprised. I didn't think that this was what was going to happen. Honestly, because I know I was blown away when I upgraded to the SVS Ultras on my front stage, but that's your main speakers. But then I was like, well, it's just your surrounds. And now I'm starting to rethink everything. But at the same time, I am considering that it's like they are brighter and it could be as much as my hearing as it is with the speakers. And we've talked about that in the past. So I added these in and I added all four of my base layer channels. I added the Prime satellite speakers because they don't make an ultra satellite speaker. Wish they did. I just would have for the name. So I said ultras all around. But anyways, but these things look just like the Ultras. They're just little and they even have the shaved corners and everything. So or beveled edges or whatever you want to call it. So I added these in around me and this is what my room looked like. These are what the two corners looked like before. See, I have little cutouts in the walls and then one goes in the back and that thing sits all the way. You see how deep my wall goes in the back corner there. You could see that the speaker just, I mean, these are the NHTs that are sitting there. And then this is the other corner. So that's how they sit into the wall. All right. Here's how they look side by side. The NHTs, and these are a pretty small speaker. They're only like 4 or 5 inches deep, they're not 6 inches deep, I don't think. But the SVSs are actually a little bit smaller than the NHTs. And what I think is, look how elegant the SVSs look next to the NHTs. And that's what NHTs are nice. They're glossy. They look sharp because they have sharp edges. And they're just, you know, what they're meant for is like no frills, all business, and they do a great job. Well, the SVSs, they've got nice, they're a little bit more, you know, artistically made. They have the same high gloss, piano gloss, but their edges are rounded. They have, like I said, those beveled edges. And they look nicer. And then the backs of them, the NHTs have, they're not, you know, they don't have the port on the back. The SVSs have the port, but you can wall mount them. So it's not that bad that I happen to have them, you know, in a wall. So, and I cross them over at 120 hertz. So this is what they look like. This is what it looks like with the NHTs in there. You see, not much. I mean, I'm sorry, with the SVSs in there. Not too much of a difference. They're a little bit smaller. You can see a little bit more space around them. You see, and that was it. So went in pretty easy as far as tweaks go. That was a pretty easy tweak going back before I just unscrew, put the new ones in. I didn't have to do, I'm going to put a little trim around it now because it does kind of look ugly with the, because there's a little bit more space there. But then I fired up my favorite scenes, right? And of course I opened with Star Wars, and I was blown away. It's the higher frequencies. So, and all of a sudden, so like my front stage, remember when I upgraded the front stage and I said the horns came further into the room? Well, now they surrounded me. So it was like the horns that are in that score at the opening of Star Wars, they start, now they were all around me, and I was like turning my, like, I couldn't place them, but I couldn't say they were in front of me. And now they were, like, I was looking to the both sides of me and everything. So what I'm thinking is, it's like, they're just so clean and they're so nice and discreet that it's like, and I'm getting the higher frequencies now that I think it, that's the way it's supposed to sound. It pulled it and it enveloped me around my room. And that was just that scene. That's all I did, is the beginning of that. And then I start going to, Terminator 2. I wasn't expecting much more out of this, because all I was this is the one that goes side to side, you know, but I start a little before it and then I come into it. And what ended up happening is the clarity of the ambient sounds of the, like, metal. Cause remember in that scene in Terminator 2, when they're in the Cyberdyne and they're about to blow it up, a lot of metallic around you. And they're, so anytime they bang that, the guns are going off, even the guns being shot in those rooms, you can hear that metallic twang going on in the background in the ambient sounds. That felt a little bit more heightened. I didn't really get a huge sense of a big difference in this one, because there wasn't really a lot there. And it's like, it's not something that you would go, wow. When I went to do the Batman scene that I do, where we go from where we first meet the Batmobile all the way through to when the chase scene with the Penguin and then the roll. This is where it went even more. Like, I thought the horns were crazy in Star Wars. In here, it's like that roll, especially at the end, that roll when the Penguin goes around is so much more clean, so much more discreet. It was like you just really felt that sense of spaciousness around you as everything went around. But when the Batmobile is dodging all the debris, you could hear more distinctly that debris going by you. All those higher frequencies are playing such a big role in giving you that sense of where you are in space, where the room is. And that surprised me. Then I went to Maverick, and you go to the, I just hit play. And it started up, and this wasn't the scene that I was going for, but it just happened to start here. So I'll mention it. You know, the scene, it's towards the beginning of the movie, right before the briefing and the jet, you hear the boom at the front of the room and the jet goes, the two jets, and they fly behind you. they felt the jets as they went around. It was more clear. It felt more accurate to realistic, being realistic. And then it felt closer on the left side where you're supposed to hear them. But then as it pans around you, it actually felt like it went further away as they shot off on towards the rear and the right rear. So those higher frequencies are allowing me to hear further, or the sense, you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get that? Like, it's like, it was like the sense that they were right there was evident on the left, but then now it's allowing me to feel like they're even further away on that side, like a bigger arc around me. But anyways, I was trying to get to the 215, right? Scene where he does the thing in 215, the route. And all of the everything was enhanced. You could hear his voice better. You could hear the wind whipping over his wings, that but there was this pop that I had never heard until this. And it's at right at the beginning when he rolls, and there's a pop to the left. Like, so he rolls the plane and it goes, and I want to know if anybody else hears it, because I had never heard it before. I backed it up three times and it's like it's a weird thing that it almost felt like, I'm like, what was that? I mean, it's like, I'd literally never heard it before. I'd be willing to bet that if I reinstalled all my NHTs, went back to the calibration setting that I had for that, I'd be willing to bet I'd hear it. But the point is, a lot of times when you do these things, it's how distinct it was that now it's that much more noticeable. You know, like sometimes you'll do these ABs and be like, well, it's there. Okay. Yeah. But did you know it was there? And it's like, how many times have I seen Maverick? And I've never heard, how many times have I watched this one particular scene and I'd never heard that before? And it was, and like, made me turn my head. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe something else in the house happened. I don't know. So I backed it up. Nope, it was there. Backed it up again. Yep. And it was awesome. But yeah, the entire thing, everything that's going on with the, like I said, he's going through, and that you can hear the higher frequencies are really giving you that the metal stressing. You know, you can hear that so much more in the wings, in it, because that's all to the side of you. The other one I did, now I hadn't done this one yet, but what I thought was interesting, I wanted to see if it cleaned it up, because I felt like these things, like these speakers, were adding more clarity, and I'm going to get to that in a second, and cleaner. And I went to the Jurassic Park opening, and you know, in that opening with the Velociraptor and everything, how loud and how, like, at reference level, that can be painful. It wasn't. And I would never have said it was painful. I could always do it, but it was at the higher level, and those screeches and the metal and everything. And it was just so, so loud. And it was still loud, but it was cleaner, less painful, and I actually could hear the shoot her that he says it. He's like, shoot her. It felt more audible, more clean. Like, you could understand that better. And then there was another part where he says something. I don't know what he says. He yells something, but I don't ever remember even recognizing that he said that he yells out something beforehand. Big, big difference, huge difference. And let me get to the calibration too. And this is what I think is interesting, because I think it was, who said it? Somebody said it to me before about the upgrading to the next Odyssey, right? You pay the $200 because then you can just calibrate a speaker when you get a new one. Or like, so for instance, right now, all I would have had to do is just recalibrate those four speakers. Well, this little experiment here, this little tweak, has made me think when you do one, you have to do them all, because they're working together. And here's why. when I calibrated my NHTs, every single time my center channel came up at a minus 5 dB setting so that that channel would match the rest of the room. Okay. So it has to play 5 dB softer than the rest of the room to be in line. The Ultra had to go, the Ultra Center, when I calibrated it for the room, had to go to minus 7 dB. I thought that was interesting, but I'm like, okay, well, it can handle more power. It's probably, you know, a little bit more, it's a little more sensitive, better, you know, better sensitivity. So it's gonna, you know, got to tone it down a little bit. So you had to go 2 dB lower with that one. All I did was add in 4 channels around me at the back of the room. These are the channels that aren't supposed to be very important. Well, you know what I mean. Adding the prime satellites, the Ultra got boosted to 6.5. It's only a half a decibel more, but it's telling you that to keep up with the rest of the room, you have to go to, it came up a half a decibel. So that's what I'm talking, like, these are, you know, these are playing louder. I'm getting better frequency response. I'm getting every, it's creating a more dynamic room just by doing all that. Now, if I had just done those channels, my center channel wouldn't have been boosted a little bit. And it wouldn't have, I think things wouldn't have been as accurate. And it's, the whole room works together, basically. And that gets me to, oh, what was the comment? It was something about reference level and how people wonder how you can get reference level and be loud and stuff. When you calibrate your room, and we've all done it, and the sound goes out, it goes boink, 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 right? But it just does one speaker at a time, right? So it calibrates that speaker to set it to that sound. It doesn't calibrate all your speakers playing all at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if all of your speakers are calibrated individually to then set at 85 dB is reference level, right? The reason some people can do reference level and other people can't is because if you played all of those speakers at once, that wouldn't, at that volume, that wouldn't be 85 dB. It'd be way above. So it, what happens if too much sound is bouncing around the room and you don't have enough room treatments? Then you're competing with additional sound. Even though you're still playing at reference level, you're actually hearing additional sound at the exact same time you're supposed to be hearing that new sound from speaker two, right? So speaker one shoots out something at 85 dB. That's bouncing around the room, and speaker two shoots something out, and now you hear them both at the same time. When if you're in a room, I mean, if you're in an open field and speaker one shoots something at you, it goes to you, goes by, it's gone. Speaker two says something, and now you're just hearing that. So it doesn't feel as loud. You've got all that sound contained in that room. You've got to pull it out so it's not going into your ears anymore. And that's what room treatments do. Okay. And the fact that when I added in my satellites, that it said, go ahead and play your center channel even louder. Imagine what that would be like in a room with not very good room treatments. It would be too much. And it's so the whole thing where your room, everything, your speakers all work together with your room. And you have to treat the room. You have to calibrate your speakers, and you know, you, I don't know, that's enough, but I could keep going, but this isn't just my show anymore. But it's awesome. It's awesome. And I'm looking at, I shouldn't have taken 30 years off from just upgrading the speakers, guys.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, it's amazing to hear what happened. And I got some more stuff coming up because of some of our home theater experiences this week. And well, Ant-Man and the Wasp, for one, I heard that on with the NHTs in the rear channels. And now when I upgraded, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And I have one particular scene that I tweeted out about. I'm like, oh, this is a demo scene. Really good. So, so much better. Really, really enjoying it. I'm actually trying to figure out now, how do I get, whether it's, I want my overheads to be the same too. Now I'm still going to go forward with, you know, Focal and, you know, testing those but now I want everything. I do want everything to match, even my overheads.
Right. All right. So let me ask. So your assumption is that those four surround sound speakers sound better because they're all SVS in your system. Can it be that they're just better than the NHTs that you had, and it doesn't matter what the brand is?
Like, that's absolutely no, no, no. Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You're four surround Focals.
Right.
You could have heard the same thing.
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
Having all SVS isn't. I don't know if that has to be.
No.
The thing. You know.
No. 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 But what? Here's the thing is most people would tell you, most people from what I've heard and even what I said, it's like, oh, your front stage is the most important. And that's where you want to concentrate and have the best stuff. And then after that, it doesn't really matter. But in a way, that's true. I don't need to have ultra towers all the way around me. But what you do need to have is something that matches the same frequency responses as the front from the higher frequencies. Okay. So you don't need to have full range speakers around you. I don't need to have large bookshelves around me. But these speakers match identically to the front stage on those higher frequencies, especially 120 and above, 120 hertz and above. And yeah, you're right, John, 100%. And we've said that about even the NHTs to these. I'm like, I bought my NHTs when I was 25 years old. For all we know, this is what they sounded like when I was 25.
Right.
Right. And my hearing has gone down. No, you're absolutely right. I'm not saying that the like SVSs are the be all end all and these are the best speakers ever made.
No, not even that. It whatever, insert any brand.
Right.
Well, my point is, do all 11 speakers have to be that same brand? I don't know if they do.
Well, they don't have to be, but to me, and it's always been the case to me, this is not new to me, but you have the best shot of having the matching frequencies from the same company, right? And that to me is what's important. Now, what I noticed in seeing, especially go back the simple version of Star Wars opening and how those horns now surrounded me for the longest time. And these were all matching speakers, but I just couldn't hear those higher frequencies. So those horns were off the front wall. They sounded great. It sounded like that's where the orchestra was in front of me. But then as I develop, you know, I upgrade the front channel, they came off the wall because it spread it out and gave you a more spacious sound. But then when adding in the surround, those speakers actually work to pull this, like, so if I had the sound anchored here, but now this right rear channel is helping to pull that horn that was at my front left, it's now pulling it back towards me because of the, you know, the way that works. If I hear a little bit back here, your brain's going to say, well, it's not there because I'm hearing a little bit over here too. So it pulls it away. So all of that works together, and to have a set of speakers that actually match, how do you know that they match? Like, I could put the Focals in and be like Focal rear channels and be like, okay, that's close, but we're all in the world of doubt, right? Well, so why not just get the same ones from the same company and then get a set that works for you? And these apparently work very well for me, especially the NHTs did not anymore. And it'll be interesting going to the, you know, to the next couple of sets and see how, if they too, 'cause you could get too bright, you can get this, you can get that. What?
That, but that's funny too, because if you were not moving and going to build another theater, the NHTs absolutely were working for you.
Oh,
for
they 30 still,
years
yeah.
and probably would for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Oh, and, absolutely. And you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Right. You, and that's what, and that's what I've been saying on this podcast for forever, since day one. Everybody's system is great because it's what you have. I'm like, and you're the one that stuck up for me when I said, I feel like I'm a fraud at first.
Oh yeah, of course.
But, you know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, but you don't know what you don't know. And it's not until you experience something else that you go, oh, wow. Okay. Right. So now at the same time, as I said to Johnny Speakers when he was on a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, there are people that just, and Danny Speakers, they buy new speakers all the time. I don't want to experience it that much, right. You know, because then I want to actually just get used to it and be like, these are what movies are supposed to sound like. And then you just let those movies wash over, the content wash over you that way. But yeah, it's, I think the most important part is, you know, finding the pair of finding a set of speakers that's right for you, that works for you. And everybody's hearing is different, just like everybody's eyesight is different, right? Some people need glasses, some people don't. We don't walk around with horns on our head for people that need hearing or whatever, but you, everybody hears and sees differently. So, and that goes through the entire frequency range of everything, right? Some people are colorblind, so why can't people be, you know, audibly blind in certain areas, audibly deaf in certain frequencies as opposed to others? So different speakers are going to work for different people. And it, I mean, you should test them out. And the most accurate test is in your own home. It's not going someplace else. Because then when you get them home, you might, it might sound completely different. They might be bloated or they might sound bassy somewhere else. Then you bring them home and find out they're really bright and they hurt your head. You don't want that. So, yeah. But I honestly did not expect this much of a difference from going to the surround at just upgrading the surround sounds. I did not. So very well. Very, very nice surprise, to be honest.
Awesome.
So anybody got anything else? I think we covered a lot there.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up. Just for this week.
Just from the chat. Just from the chat. Johnny Speakers wants the Rocky set.
Okay.
So we've got that. So we got that. And then, just a quick hi to Andrew Panner, because I think he's new.
Nice. Hey, Andrew. Yeah, how are we doing, buddy?
Yeah,
nice to meet you. If we haven't already.
Yes.
Watching on his delayed flight. Nice. Cool. He has SVS Ultra bed level and SVS Prime elevation as heights. Nice. The tweeters all match. Yeah. And that's what's so great. It's just, it pulls so much more out. So, all right. What do we got next, guys? Should I go back to the notes again?
Yeah. I think it's listener experiences, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
All. All right. See what happens when I do all the talking. I have a little trouble pulling up the entire things. I got to pull up the images. Normally I do this while you guys are talking. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that one is... Where'd it go? All right. Can one of you guys read that while I pay attention and do other things?
Sure.
Do you want to do that, John?
Sure. This is from Greg the Awesome Ninja. Live stream show 273 on YouTube. Some guy I watched duct taped a weight to the wheel to trick the hands on the steering wheel feature.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that...
That was the self-drive thing we were talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where it would cut out if it didn't feel your hands on the steering wheel.
That's right.
Yeah, Greg is in the chat, by the way. Worth saying hi, Greg.
Duct taped away. Okay, now I get it.
Is that my new son-in-law? Yeah, that's Greg.
Okay.
That's Greg. Yeah. So, yeah, that's great. We were talking about self-driving and, how you had to hold on to the steering wheel and stuff, or you just go right off into the road, right off the road if you let go because it just stopped working, which seemed like but that is funny. That seemed like,
took a lot of work to go to.
I know, just hold on to the damn wheel you're driving. Oh, that's great. Good stuff. All right. Next one.
Well, I'll do this one. So this just seems to be from Stephen at Atius, isn't it? I think it is. And he commented on the YouTube video from the Fearless, so last week's YouTube show, saying a pretty neat idea, not happening at LaGuardia. And this relates to, I think, the airport home theater setup that that we were talking about last time. So it looks like it's not universal.
No. Nope. Not at all. Let's see. All right. I have my head spinning. Read that one.
John, do you want to do that one, mate?
I guess, DJ, you're just out of it.
Yeah, I'm okay. Not out of it. I'm working here.
He's working on the sites.
Van Gool, I like this one anyway. Van Gool commented on your video, Jet Li's Fearless. I agree with you guys with The Mandalorian. Wonder what season 4 will be like with the story. John is right about Picard. So many throwbacks to the Next Generation show. Yeah, fantastic series finale last week as well. So,
I assume you mean Picard and not Mandalorian.
Picard. Yes, Picard.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to Mandalorian a bit later, won't we?
We will.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what you guys say about that.
Well, it wasn't a fantastic series finale.
Nice tease.
Spoiler alert. Yes, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Oh, nice job. All right. And WV Brew coming in with a listener experience of his own right here. If you want to read that, Steve.
So this is a tweet. This is from obviously WV Brew. Says at Brightside HT, the Top Gun of firefighter movies, referring to Backdraft, saying a much better audio soundtrack, minus songs, of course. The DTSX track is an earthquake, long tactile bass movie is just great. Fire and department store at about 22 minutes. Reference, listener experience. Have you guys got this in 4K?
I don't know if I have it in 4K or not.
Yep.
I've got it. I watched it not that long ago, and I reviewed it briefly on Twitter. Yeah. It is very, very good indeed. I mean, this is a really nice remaster. So it looks great, but sounds fantastic as well. And I've always been one of those people that wasn't previously all that enamored with Backdraft. I used to watch it once a generation. I had the VHS, I had the DVD, and then had the Blu-ray. And then the 4K disc, and I would only watch it once per, you know, format, as it were. But this, the 4K disc of this is fantastic and really, really nice. So I was very pleased with this. I think WV Brew is right. Whether it's quite reference, not sure, but it's very, very good indeed. It's a good shout, and good recommendation, that one.
Yeah, I've got it. I guess I just need to watch it. I do have.
You'll be pleased you did. You will like it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Yeah, it is a really decent disc. Have you got it on Kaleidoscape, Deej? Where have you got the?
I have them both. Disc. Yeah, I have it on Kaleidoscape, and I have it. I have the 4K. Came out a while ago though, didn't it?
The 4K.
Yeah.
It was last year.
Yeah, I remember watching it last year. And I just skimmed through it. It doesn't have the DTSX, and it's not even 4K on Kaleidoscape either, I don't think, yet. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that, about 4K and Kaleidoscape and not Kaleidoscape when we get to our experiences later, because I have an interesting observation, if I can say it that way. But so this should be fun. But yeah, no, that's a great, it's one of my favorite movies. to be honest. I grew up watching Emergency. Right? I don't know if you know that show, Steve.
No.
Over there, Emergency One, it's called, or Emergency. Did you watch it, John, growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, we still watch it here. It's on Cozy, I think, is the channel or something like that.
Oh, really? Time.
And they play, that plays, then all sorts of older shows play on that channel. But Jen and I put it on all the time, especially Saturday afternoons. It's on like 3 hours straight or something like that, from like 5 to 8 o'clock or something like that. And then Columbo. It's great. It's great.
If we're talking firefighter movies, then this will be my reminder to you both again. Only the Brave, or No Way Out, as it's called here. You know, the movie that preceded Maverick. Come on, fellas, need to see it.
I know. Yeah, I know. I have that one on Kaleidoscape too.
Yeah,
you're
gonna really enjoy it. You guys are gonna really like it.
I know. I know. Anyways. It's not like I haven't been watching stuff, Steve. You're making me feel bad.
Come on. the problem, you have been watching stuff. The problem is it's the same stuff.
That's the right stuff, right?
There is new stuff out there,
DC. I'm not going to watch the right stuff, too?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It's not even a short movie. All right. Oh, by the way, we're not even in Tweaks of the Week anymore. There we go. All right. Next one.
Blue Wave. This is from YouTube. Also last week, Jet Li's Fearless. In my last comment to you guys, I came down on the streaming services for the audio quality, lacking the dynamics of their physical counterpart. This time I want to give streaming services some praise for providing us access to content that we normally would not purchase on our own. I just watched Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets for the first time on Amazon Prime. Presented in 4K, no HDR, and 5.1 audio, this movie is like the less annoying cousin of The Fifth Element. While the video stream was pretty good, I thought the audio was impressive. With the Brightside home theater curve applied, I think it's worth a watch.
Nice.
Yeah, I have not seen that movie.
So. I've seen the first 15 minutes of it.
Yeah, it's Cara Delevingne and some, right? And
so it must really be just like The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 It's same director. It's Luc Besson. No. 15 minutes was more than enough.
No, I haven't seen it. I honestly hadn't even heard of it. So.
It's a way out there space, you know, movie. It's very, very odd again. Yeah, I mean, you can tell it's from the same director as The Fifth Element. I think I would agree with Blue Wave. It's not as immediately irritating as The Fifth Element, but it's
It took you a whole 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, quite. That was enough. Yeah. I wasn't about to revisit it.
I believe it's based on like a French comic book or something.
Yeah,
or I think a novel series.
It's very, very out there. It is very French, and I mean that not in an inappropriate way. It's just very. It is very, idiosyncratic, shall we say. And it just, yeah, I mean, if you like The Fifth Element, go for your life. If you don't, and I don't, it's just not for you.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Oh, I noticed, by the way, none of the listeners have forced me to watch it. No one's challenged me to watch The Fifth Element again, thank goodness. So I feel like I've dodged
that. Are you asking them to? That's, no. I mean, you just basically just put it out there as a challenge, like. Could somebody make me watch this? Because that's the only way I'm doing it.
And only with a gun to my head. Carl says we bought the 4K Fifth Element on Kaleidoscape in Steve's honor. You're welcome to it, Carl. Just do me a favor when you watched it, burn it with fire.
Yeah.
Or nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. If James Cameron's taught us nothing, it's that.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch Fifth Element yet. The 4K, the new... one that I tweeted out that's like Cinematics Supreme or something like that.
Yeah.
Supreme Cinema version. So, I think that's, it's gotta just be like the latest version of it on disc. That's all like redone and Atmos and, you know, 4K HDR, all that I saw on disc, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet on Kaleidoscape. All right. All right. We are cooking along here. Let's get to what do we got coming soon now? All right. Only a few this week, but we have some really interesting ones. Have you guys seen these?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll save the last three, I think. This is going to be fun. It'll be a fun conversation, I think. All right. First up, Deep Impact from 1998. Tia Leone.
I thought Morgan this was already Freeman. Out.
No.
It's already out in 4K?
No.
No, that was the core. A few weeks ago.
Can we curse the home cinema gods for the fact that of the two Asteroid movies from 1998, we got this one first?
Well, I found this to be the more realistic version of. I'm just kidding.
Well, you can have it as the more realistic one, but it's not the better one.
No.
Not in a million years.
Well, yeah, because Aerosmith doesn't play in it.
There you go. And we don't want to miss a thing.
Exactly.
But I mean, when it came out, right, here we go. You talk about conversation.
It's still good. I love Deep Impact.
When this came out in 98, Deep Impact was the one I preferred because I saw Armageddon for enough again in Boston. I saw it that summer. When I first saw that, having then seen Deep Impact, I preferred Deep Impact, but I was youthful and stupid. Whereas the reality is Armageddon is by far the better film. It is way more fun.
It's more fun. I wouldn't say that either of them are great films. They're fun home theater movies. They've got things go boom. They've got bright lights, big explosions. I mean, they are both way more realistic than Moonfall.
I didn't dislike Moonfall. I like Moonfall.
I didn't either. I'm like, you just can't knock two planets together. A moon. I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, I love the core. I liked how, you know, everybody else was going out into space. Core decided to take the same exact story and just go in. Looked within. Get it? See? So that was fun. That's not a sounder, people. That's how they laughed at it.
I mean, it's not a
can't
it's
fake
not
a that. Bad
movie, can't yeah. fake those.
it's not a bad.
Of them being kind. There it is again.
Yeah.
I gotta make that a sounder now. All right, go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not in and of itself a bad movie. It's just not as good as Armageddon. And if we were gonna have the two, I'd rather have had that one first. But I will probably still get this. It's not out here. There's no sign of it coming out here. So I will probably have to import it.
Oh.
I'll be curious to see what the effects are like now. I'd have some trepidation as to how they will look. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Who directed it? Do you remember? Anyone remember?
Mm-mm.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know if it was someone famous or not. I'll look it up. But yeah, I mean, you guys will pick it up, I'm assuming.
You guys remember that stuff, never me.
Well, this is when IMDb is my friend.
There you go. All right. Yeah. You got it?
Yeah, then here, then here, then here, directed by... Oh, Mimi Leader. Of course it was. Yeah, so she was quite big big at that time. I don't know what's happened to her.
Oh.
Quite big at that time. But yeah, so would you guys pick this up?
Most likely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I don't see it soon on Kaleidoscape, I'll just grab the 4K, of course.
I'm not sure if it's a – I don't think it's a boutique studio kind of reissue. I think it is a main one, isn't it? I think it's Paramount.
Yeah. It's a 25th anniversary, so
yeah.
It should – I'm hoping we get it, too, in the next few days. Should – you know, it might show up on Monday or Tuesday on Kaleidoscape. So hopefully that's the way that things have been trending, so – All right. Next up, we have you guys heard of this one?
Heard of it, not seen it.
1987, Wings of Desire. Have you? Oh, you've heard of it, Steve?
Well, yeah. It's a Criterion release. So
I know that.
It's a classic movie. I've just not seen it.
Mm. Yeah. It's funny. I might have seen it and I don't remember it. I just, I mean, it's one of those things, like if you start watching, you're like, I do remember seeing this maybe. But yeah, I didn't recognize anything from the cover. I didn't recognize the name. I'm like, you know, I know it from 1987. So that was a long time ago. So
yeah, but scooch over this one quick, Deej. Otherwise our cinematic credentials will go completely out the window.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mine went a long time ago. All right. Let's see. Oh boy. Why isn't even, it's not here. It's not here. The next one isn't here. I got to get it for you. Cause this is huge. Oh, that's why it's not here. Oh, okay. Let's see.
This is just while you're doing that. He's just while you're doing that. TJ8311 in the chat says he has to agree with Steve about the fifth element. So TJ's a legend, and we like him. Yeah. I've got to take the support where I can get it when it comes to the fifth element. Everybody else seems to love it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it at all either. I'm on your side.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there we go. That's fine then. That's okay.
Oh. Yeah. All right. We also have from 2010, Skyline, Don't Look Up. Steve, you said, I haven't seen this one. What is this?
I don't think I've seen it either.
Oh, John, come on. You need to get this one then, mate. You're going to need this one. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's found footage as if there was an alien invasion. It's like a Battle LA, you know, Battlefield LA, but as if it was told from a very small few people, and it's done like found footage. I really enjoyed it. The sequel's dreadful, but this one is decent, and it's worth picking up. If it's got an Atmos mix, it's one of those must buys, because some of the stuff in it's really, really clever. So yeah, I will import this one for sure. It's a B movie with a capital B. It's well worth picking up.
Right up my alley.
Yeah. A B movie with a capital B.
Yeah. The only thing I would say, though, having said that, and now as I think about it, I think it's one of these ones that was shot in HD. So I don't know how much the 4K is going to really
upscale,
increase that. Yes. Yeah, well, quite.
It's upscaled, and it's only DTS 5.1.
Okay. Well, maybe get it cheap.
That was Steve throwing on the brakes.
Yeah. Right. Well, I might still pick it up cheap. Because I've got the Blu-ray, and I've had the Blu-ray for years, and I don't know, I'll end up importing it. I know I will. As soon as it's a little cheaper, I'll get it. But yeah, it's a good film. It's a fun B movie. It's worth seeing.
Cool. All right. Yeah, sounds good. Let's see. Now here we go. Ooh. All right. Where is it? Why isn't that loading? All right. All right. No, we're not going yet. Come on. These are the ones I wanted to talk about.
TJ in the chat then still says he doesn't know anyone else that doesn't like the fifth element either. So, but you know, TJ, you're in good company here, fella.
Yeah.
You found your people.
He doesn't know anybody that doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It wasn't just me. The person that saw it with me in the cinema back in 1995 thought it was dreadful as well.
And you haven't seen it since then?
Not even close. I haven't even been able to watch the trailer since then, let alone the film. Not even on TV. Not even as a. I just can't.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Should be illegal.
Such a great home theater experience.
No, I'm sure.
All right, let's see. Now these are big. I can't wait to get you guys' takes on these. Steelbook, Disney 100. And we have Star Wars 4K, A New Hope. It's all the same movies we have. I think it's pretty much all the same extras we already have. But these steelbooks are beautiful.
So they're just metal cases for Steve to throw in the garbage.
They don't go in the garbage. They go in the attic.
Oh, in the attic.
I don't put them in the bin. Yeah, no, I do keep them. But I mean, I don't. Why?
They're gorgeous. I won't buy them.
No, quite. Deej, you don't have to answer it. I know you've got 12 copies on the way, but if you're a steelbook collector, go for it. Of course. But why? Otherwise,
I actually maybe would be tempted to purchase them to stick in one of my display cases here.
Yeah,
and not necessarily because they're movies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Works of art.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But you buy all nine of them because this is, well, the,
this is
just
only
the beginning, right?
Like, this is this one. And then we also have Empire.
Right.
And we have Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And that's all that's coming out right now.
Well, this week, though. Yeah, they'll do all nine of them. Of course.
Oh, do you think?
Disney. Do you think Disney doesn't like money? Like, they're not going to milk every dime out of Star Wars that they can?
This three will be them dipping their toes in the water to see what interest there is. And if they sell loads of them or enough, and they hit that magic number, then of course, they'll do the original trilogy and then the sequel trilogy if they're not already done.
Bounce. I mean, they are beautiful cases,
aren't they?
But I'm not a steelbook collector. And to me, I would actually want these to display just like this because I like the back of the case as much as the front of it. So
yeah,
I would have to, you know, put them on a book stand or something and put them in
spin
one of
them around.
Cases. Yeah. So
keep spinning.
Yeah, they are. They are really, really nice.
Just print out the pictures, John. Just print them out in really high quality.
And way cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. DJ, scan the ones you get.
Yeah. You've got them right there, DJ. So
yeah. I mean, even the logos on the back.
Yeah, they're all beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you know they're all etched in the metal. And
yeah.
I'm sure they look awesome. But
oh. And isn't this just preying on Star Wars fans? It's just
absolutely.
Well, they've been doing that since 1977.
I've already got the $140 box set.
My last question, I know it's not going to be in there, but how cool would it be if they had the original cut in A New Hope?
Day one buy. I would buy them instantly.
Yeah.
But okay, they won't. All right.
Tell me this, though, guys. Tell me this. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think if they had that you would be, you'd watch it once? Do you think you'd ever watch it again?
Because that's the one I would watch.
The original cuts?
It's the original cut remastered with Atmos. I watch the original, and I know John does too. We have versions of it. It looks good. It's just not 4K. And it's not Atmos, but
it looks pretty awesome.
It does. And to be fair, it was only a few years ago when you start getting the 4K versions where you went, okay, there's a difference here. And I mean, when you go back and forth with it, you can see it's like looking through a clean window now.
But with the cardboard due back and with the sort of the all the kind of clunky special effects and all that stuff. Would you really want to have that?
Only way I would ever watch it.
Yeah. I would love to see
it. So you don't watch the special editions, John?
I do because that's all I have in 4K.
Right. But
if I had the option.
Yeah.
Up until
we got the 4Ks, John never watched them.
Yeah.
Swear to God. That's what him and I had the conversation all the time. I actually chose the special edition because it was a little bit better. Even before the 4K, and John used to say he would be telling I won't watch him. He watches the original.
Yeah, I have.
No, man. I think that is very cool. You know, I really do like that. But I mean, I regard myself as a Star Wars fan. You know, am I a Star Wars nerd? Probably not a little bit. But I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I've grown up with them. I love the movies. And yet, I'd like to see the original cuts for curiosity's sake, just to remind myself of what they were like. Because I had the VHS movies of the pre-special edition versions.
Right.
But I think after having watched them for curiosity's sake, I can't imagine I'd ever want to see them again. Because the special editions changed so much that it's changed the core experience, for better or for worse. It's changed the core experience so much that I personally don't think I could go back. But I get why people wouldn't. But I think a lot of people would be the same. I think a lot of people going back to the original cuts. I mean, obviously they're not original. If they clean them up for 4K, they're not original anyway. But if you go back to the original versions, then I think a lot of people will be like, so that was new. Oh, so that was shit. Oh, right. So you know what I mean? I think a lot of people would struggle to go back to those originals and then prefer them as much as the special editions were controversial. So I know I would always pick the special editions over the original, but I'd watch them for curiosity's sake, but then I don't think I'd ever go back to them.
I'm the exact opposite.
But I think I'd bounce between them.
Yeah, you're never going to get them though.
We won't.
No,
you don't think so?
No, never. They've come out and said they're never going to give them to us.
But also, even if they did, the problem is they will never be the way you saw them in 77 or up until 1997. that's what I mean. So you're never going to get the originals in their original form anyway. That's gone, because you wouldn't be able to watch it now on the screens that you guys have got, even as tiny a screen as I've got. You wouldn't be able to watch those original versions. They'd be unwatchable. They'd be soft and just completely right. So they'd have to update them for 4K anyway, in which case, is that not just another special edition? Or are we just...
Unedited.
Remastered is different than unedited. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we got remastered Laserdiscs. Because in the original Laserdisc, do you remember, John, in the original Laserdisc, you could actually see the cutout of the TIE Fighter? Like, so you saw the TIE Fighter on the screen, but the black around the TIE Fighter, the square black around the TIE Fighter, was different than the background around the TIE.
My laser discs are the special editions.
Yeah, I had the special editions, but do you remember the ones before that?
Well, see, I don't think I had the laser discs before that. I had the
VHS. Oh, you didn't have the original?
Prior to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the original, and you could actually see, like I said, it was like, here's TIE Fighter. This is the film footage of that. And then they cut out around it. And then they put it on the black, the same black background. But it was a different black, so you could see it. And in the remastered version, you could see it. It blended seamlessly. You know, it was nicer. But like you said, John, it's like remastered is different than re-edited and added new scenes. And I mean, take out the entire Jabba the Hutt scene. That can all come out.
The Jabba the Hutt
scene. You don't want to see the original.
Greedo shooting first, and then you go to Empire, Jedi, and you have that crazy musical number.
God.
You know, it's like none of that exists in the original cuts. Yeah.
Would you want some of the cut scenes reinserted into the original? Because obviously Jabba the Hutt was a guy wearing a jacket in a
new coat. I want it the way it was seen. And here's where I think it would benefit them too, is for there's an entire generation of people, multiple generations now, that have never seen it.
And right,
they only know the one way. And if they go back and see what we were enamored with, they'd be like, wow, why were you so enamored? Because like when they first get to Tatooine, you're like, the city there. Sorry, forget the name again.
Mos Eisley.
There's nothing going on in the background.
Right. There's no little droids walking around.
There's nothing. They're just walking down an empty street. Right. And all of that was put in
afterwards.
There's
one dewback and two stormtroopers.
Yeah, exactly. Same when they're looking for him in the desert. There's more troopers in the desert. Right. In the special edition, when they first land to look for the droids,
and a lot of the explosions. I mean, they did a lot. They really changed a lot.
Because
all the explosions are,
much
more explosion-y.
The ring that comes out around it and goes by you, that wasn't there. That was, and how many times did we see that on HBO, John, in the 80s? That explosion after when the Death Star blows up. And there's so much that they added that stuff doesn't bother me. Those aren't extra scenes. That's just, added ambience. But it would be nice to go back and be able to watch a remastered, unaltered, version of it. And I think people would be really amazed at because that's showing respect to the movie, too. It's showing respect to what people were, how difficult this was to do back then. People don't realize that. I think it would be great. I mean, I think a Cloud City in Empire.
Yeah.
It was dark. It's like they opened up.
I think Empire had the least
lights.
Amount of changes. I mean, there's the Wampa Cave that it's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think they did the least amount of changes to Empire. But that scene in Jedi is.
Yeah.
Cringeworthy.
Then you'll go back to the original Boba Fett as well. And, as a New Zealander, I feel that it's only appropriate that Tamira Morrison remains in Empire Strikes Back with his odd Kiwi accent coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I figured with these coming out, this would be a fun conversation. So,
yeah.
Thanks for living up to the hype, boys.
Yeah. Hey. wasn't scripted or anything.
Nope. Nope. I actually thought of not putting them in the notes so you wouldn't have seen them and then just surprised you with them. But I didn't. So, all right. Are we ready to get to our real HT experiences?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's kick it off right. There we go. Okay.
This is the way.
Yes, this is the way. All right, have at it. The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 8, and the full wrap-up. What do we got?
Go on, John. Go for it.
It's on a leash. Go on, John. Get him. John.
Yeah, it was an okay finale, but I don't know. It was a lackluster season, and I don't know. It was fine. I think the whole thing with not to get into too many spoilers, but you know, the whole confrontation with Gideon and all that stuff was pretty good, I guess. But I feel like it wrapped up very suddenly, and I don't know. I guess Steve, you can chime in anytime you want. But it was just fine. Like the one thing I really want to talk about, but it's spoilery, so I don't know. But that whole thing with the Darksaber really irritated me. Because it's, well, I'm just going to say it. It's supposed to be indestructible Beskar, right? Like Beskar, you know, it fights lightsabers, you know, it's one of the, it's like adamantium or vibranium, you know, it's like this super indestructible metal. And yet Gideon can just crush it in his hand. Like it's a piece of cardboard. I thought that was ridiculous, but, I don't know. I wasn't super impressed with it.
Yeah, I think I agree. It didn't. The last episode did not salvage the season for me. I think it's by far the weakest of the three, I would say. And it didn't end on a wow. Did you see that note that the other two did? Of course, season one ends with the Darksaber.
It ended just like Thor: Love and Thunder, right? That's all I could think of was
quite. And then, you know, an episode, and obviously season two ended on that episode that had us all absolutely, you know, jonesing and loving it. And so this one's weird. It was a weird season. It's all over the place. I wasn't overly impressed with the last one. What I struggled with, we're talking about things that don't make sense. What I struggle with is that sometimes the armor that the soldiers, you know, the Gideon soldiers, the armor that they were wearing could sometimes repel blaster fire, and in other times it seemed to kill them. And it only seemed to happen when it felt appropriate for the episode that one of them died, that you could do it. And I never quite got my head around that. And similarly with the weapons, sometimes they could kind of deflect blasters and other times they couldn't. And that was always a bit weird. And Mando's the same. His armor sometimes is absolutely impenetrable and he could get shot loads of times and he's fine. And then other times he gets injured. And I don't know. It's disappointing. As I say, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. Is probably what I would say. I've not lost the faith completely. I will watch a season four, but I do hope that they do some work on the overall story and they think a little bit more about it. Having said that, I'm looking forward to Ahsoka because that looks really good. So, and we were going to talk about that trailer last week, and of course we never did it. So that does look great, and I'm still excited for that. So if this season is just to whet the appetite for Ahsoka, then that's fine because it hasn't put me off it. But I think this is the weakest of the three. Now, Deej, tell John and I why we're wrong.
You're not wrong. It is okay. Not in that aspect. It is the weakest of the three, but the other two are just so good, right? And I mean, to be fair, aren't we? I mean, wouldn't you expect a letdown? I mean, season one was going to be great regardless. I feel you could have forecasted that pretty easily because we'd never heard of them oh, we'd never seen him. We have nothing to go off. So what could you be disappointed with? You know? So it was all like, hey, great, a new Star Wars arc, right? So that's season one. Plus, it was just really good, and we had fun with it, and it was, you know, that Western feel. And then they really wowed you with season two by one bringing in Ahsoka first, and then, of course, going out on that super high note. And even as John and I said, as the season went on, we had Ahsoka and that great battle and everything. And the, I remember her battle on the what seemed like almost like a Japanese garden. With the water and on the boards and stuff.
The koi pond. And
Yeah. But it was really nice. Very well done. Home theater wise, that was a great scene, right?
An indestructible Beskar staff.
Yeah.
You know? That got cut in half, didn't it?
No, it got melted down to become Grogu's chin.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right.
To Din Djarin, didn't she?
Yep. Yeah. But then, yeah, of course, you end that one with Luke at the end and fantastic, and you go out on that. And then, I mean, what else are we going to have after that? You know, it, of course, this is going to be a letdown. If it wasn't, I think that's the bigger surprise. But I mean, I had a lot of fun with the season. I really enjoyed it. Look forward to it every week. I'm looking forward to it going on from here. And what I love what they've done here is they took the season and, yeah, Did you take a hit in that it wasn't as riveting and entertaining as the other two, but they've developed the galaxy as a whole. They've taken the Mandalorian character and the name, the Mandalorian. I still think it's Din Djarin. That's the story. He went all the way. We've had three story arcs for him. This third story arc is Din Djarin going, and well, that's the full story arc. It's that story is what happened to him. Now he's on a, you know, got a little ranch, and he can go off and have his quests, which could be season four. Plus, he can now just pop in and out, and you'd be like, you know, at any point, you think he's going to be in Ahsoka. You think he's going to be in, they do another Boba Fett. He'll probably be there. He could show up anywhere. So I love how it feels like this is, it's a complete arc, 1 through 3, each of them having their own individual arc. And now from here on out, it's a different Din Djarin Mandalorian story going forward. Now he's, you know, the master with an apprentice type thing. So I love what they did. I think it's a lot of fun, but I do agree with you. It's not as great as the other two.
Is he in a different place at the end of this season than he was at the beginning of the season, not physically, in terms of his character arc? Has it changed at all from episode one to the last episode?
I don't think it has, because now he's just a bounty hunter again, except he's going to take bounties for the Republic instead of Apollo Creed. And he's going to go, and I think season four is just a bounty of the week kind of thing, right? Like he's just going on missions bounty hunter. And that's where he was when we met him. He was a bounty hunter going on missions and collecting bounties. So I think he's in the same place as he started. Now he's got Grogu, and now he's, you know, I guess redeemed the way. He's Mandalorian again, but he's the same. It's the same character, and he's doing the same. I think, and he's in the same place where as he is when he started. So.
It just seemed to me like he was treading water this season. This season seemed to be the story of the Mandalorians, not the Mandalorian. And it's almost like he was, and again, I think, John, you hit the nail on the head for me when you said a couple of weeks ago that he's a side character in his own show. You know, so this seemed to be a season not about him at all. So it's odd. It's some odd choices. The same way as the Book of Boba Fett kind of ended up being, he kind of dropped into it.
Wasn't about Boba Fett.
Yeah, and this one seems to have been like that. In which case, why not call this the Mandalorians, and then have Din Djarin pop up in it, and then have a proper season three, and then do it that way. I mean, look, it's not our choice to make, obviously, but it just seems to have been some odd decisions made. But you know, there we go. I'll stop moaning now.
Okay. So when we met him, we didn't know who he was.
And no, then I mean as in we this season.
Can I mute you? So when we met him, we didn't know who he was. Season one, we learn he's a loner. The arc is, by the end of it, he didn't even like robots, if you remember correctly. He hated them. By season three, he's rebuilding one because it was his friend, and he thought it would help them. But so season one, he didn't want a partner. He didn't want people. He had a great, this three seasons was not only a story arc, but to John's point, he came right back around to who he was, but has also grown as a person. He had removed his helmet because he basically loved Grogu. He gave himself to Grogu to make him feel better, to make Grogu feel more comfortable in that moment, right? So you see how far he had come as a person just up until that point. That's just the end of episode of season two, sorry. So he had done that. He's like, he'd given up the Mandalorian way. Okay, so now season three, he not only redeems the Mandalorian way for himself, but he also reunites all the Mandalorians on their forsaken planet. Oh, yeah. Okay. No story arcs. And he comes full circle because now he's not a loner anymore. He has an apprentice. I think it's a great story arc. I think the entire thing, it's like, I mean, how can you not?
Did he unite all the Mandalorians or did Bo-Katan?
It's his story, but it's his story bringing all these people together. It just his travels are what, you know, spawned all this. If he doesn't go and get Bo-Katan, does any of this happen?
Yeah, she's still sitting on her chair.
She's still sitting up moaning on her throne, you know, which we all thought was like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
But now that sticks out like a sore thumb. If he doesn't go to get her, and now he needed her help for something else. But it would, you see what I mean? It's like, it's the Mandalorian. The story is called, the show's called The Mandalorian. Yeah. Well, aren't we all?
Well,
aren't we all? It's like, when you watch your life play out, it's like, it's happenstance that you end up in all these situations.
Right.
Like, did anybody plan that John and I would meet each other in Franklin, Massachusetts and start a, you know, worldwide podcast? None of that is a
worldwide
joke.
Phenomenon.
I left out phenomenon. That would have been embellishing, but it is worldwide. But you know what I mean? It's a intercontinental podcast. Yeah. Actually, that would be extra continental, wouldn't it? Inter would be inside the continent. I don't know. Let's not get into English language. But you see what I mean? I mean, there's so much here, and I think they've done a lot. But I would agree with you. This last season, it can't be as good as the other two. They were just another level. So, is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I think we've done what we want to do on the Mandalorian.
Beat that horse. Yeah.
Yeah. Flog that Jew back. Horse.
And by the way, a fantastic home theater experience.
I was just gonna say, but it looked great.
It looked great. It sounded great. It's and that's come a long way too. And you know, and they developed the volume out of all this. So,
well, though, didn't we learn from the Smart List podcast with Jon Favreau, all of which I'm listening to because of you, Deej?
There you go.
They're not using the volume anymore.
Well, they just renamed it. It's something else now. It's called something else.
Yeah,
they renamed it.
Moved it beyond what it was, didn't they? I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
But it is still, I think they renamed it. I thought that was interesting too, where they asked, wasn't it him they asked, isn't that proprietary? Like they invent stuff. Now, does that studio own it? Yeah, but it isn't, because it ends up being like ILM has some tech, so they own it. It's proprietary to them. Not that they have this, but yeah, that's really interesting. So, all right, that's it for Mandalorian, unfortunately for now, but hopefully we get some more Mandalorian talk in the not too distant future. So, all right, who wants to go? Let's John.
I've
Steve,
only got
why don't,
one.
Yeah, you only got one. So, Steve, why don't you pick one?
Well, should we quickly deal with Freaky then? Another quick
sure
revisit of it. Okay, so that's my fault because that's a slightly blurry photo. So sorry about that. So this is Freaky, the 2021 horror film, body swap horror film, which I've learned this week was going to have been called Friday the 13th or Freaky the 13th, they were going to call it.
Oh, really?
They decided not to, yeah, because they just thought it people get confused. So this is a Body Swap Horror, Vince Vaughn. Very, very good film. Fantastic film. First time I've imported the 4K. Now, over here, it's not even available on Blu-ray. You can get it in DVD and that's it. But in the US, you've had the Blu-ray for a while, which I imported, and now the 4K disc, which has just come out. And so I'm only really going to talk about the theater experience because the movie's fantastic. It's really, really good. And if you haven't seen it, get it, watch it. Vince Ward is having an amazing time in this. It's very, very funny. And also it's got all the horror stuff as well. So in terms of the 4K, it is miles different to the Blu-ray. The video on this has had a complete reworking. It's almost as though this has been shot originally with 4K HDR in mind, and they've only just now been able to get to it because the contrast has been boosted. The color saturation just makes it look much, much better. The main character, as you can see just about from that picture, was wearing a red leather jacket throughout the film. Pretty much. And that just leaps off the screen. It looks absolutely fantastic. And there's a showdown at the end in a kind of a mini golf place, crazy golf an indoors one with lots of UV lighting and fluorescent lighting and that kind of stuff. And that all is boosted hugely by the HDR and the wider color gamut. So it's really good. It's got the same 5.1 audio mix as the Blu-ray, unfortunately. So it's not object based, but of course it was upmixed to Duralex, and that surround mix was good. And this one is just as good. So yeah, it's fine. So the reason to upgrade is for the video. It is well worth doing. If you like this film and you should, then it's really, really well worth getting. So I love it.
Well, if you like this film and you should,
because it's not Fifth Element. Then yes, it's well worth seeing.
It's like Steve doesn't like something, nobody should. If Steve likes something, everybody has to.
I thought that was just a given.
It's great.
I think it's very, very good indeed. And John, you in particular, I think will get a real kick out of it. And Deej, just wait till October. Right. But you know, it's
to be
good.
Fair,
it's
I already good. Bought it. I okay, bought it on good. Kaleidoscape because I think 4K? It looks fun. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it looks fun. I think it's one gen-like. I was actually hoping to be able to get it in, you know, before we sat down today. But yeah, no. I mean, this I want her. She likes these type of movies too, and this one looks like a lot of fun. You know, so, you've told me about it before.
Yeah, I've reviewed it on the podcast before, but that was the Blu-ray having imported that. But this is leaps and bounds beyond that. But it is very fun. And when, you know, and the body swap means that Vince Vaughn, the serial killer, is in the body of a teenage girl, and the teenage girl is now in Vince Vaughn's body. So Vince Vaughn is obviously acting like a teenage girl throughout the film, and he is having a riot. It's very, very good. And so, yeah, you'll have a great time. It's very, very funny. And gory as well. You know, you get all the horror elements too. So, yeah, well worth it. Yeah, nice. Highly recommend it.
All righty. All right, then. Let's see. What do I want? I'll go with. Let's see. We'll do this one.
Cocaine bear.
So, Netflix, The Diplomat. Have you seen this, John?
No, but I'm curious because it is on my list.
Yeah. So, Kerry Russell.
What do you think of it? Yeah.
I'm really enjoying
it. Star of Cocaine Bear, by the way.
Yes.
This really, really enjoying this. It's like like Jack Ryan, only she's Jack Ryan, but there's a different twist to it. And when I say it's kind of like Jack Ryan, it's like, you know, like in the Jack Ryan, I'm talking the series that is, you know, in that with John Krasinski, and in that series, it's like, and the idea of Jack Ryan, even going back to Hunt for Red October, is kind of like, you know, fish out of water type thing. Like, I'm just an analyst. What am I doing here? Right. Well, this is kind of like that, using Kerry Russell here. She's supposed to be just really good at her job working for the government. But some things happen, and they're trying to, in episode one, they're just trying to get, there's some mischievous stuff afoot. Let's just put it that way, which keeps it really interesting. And then when you go into episode two, it kind of, it ramps up a little bit right at the end of episode one, and then it goes back into that again in episode two. But home theater wise, you definitely could just watch this on a regular television, but it is definitely enhanced in your theater for sure. There's some, the dialogue definitely, but there's some great ambient sound effects. There's some explosions. There's a little bit of action, very little. But the picture is very, very nice. So the, you know, the 4K, it does have Dolby Vision. If you happen to partake, it is an Atmos. So the 4K looks really, really nice, and I'm really enjoying it. And so much so that I told my wife, if she wanted to watch it, I'd watch it upstairs with her. But I really want her to come downstairs, because I do think that the home theater part of it is that good. It's fun so far. It's a fun show. It's not super, super serious, but it is taking on some serious, storylines. But I love the chemistry between, you know, her and that is.
Is that Rufus Sewell?
I'm not sure of the name, but he's fantastic. I've seen him in other things too, but their chemistry is
awesome. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Their chemistry is awesome. You'll recognize some other people in it too. From Carnival Row.
Yeah. Okay.
What's his name from Carnival Row's in it? He was the black gentleman with the horns in Carnival Row.
I don't know his name, but yeah.
I don't know his name either, but he's here and he doesn't have horns. So that's
okay.
Nice.
So yeah. That's good. So that actor doesn't have horns is what
No, that was all fake.
Wow. They did a good job.
Yeah, exactly. He's in it, and it was funny. See that, I think this is the first time I've noticed him in something where it wasn't Carnival Row.
Right.
So, and he's just walking around normal when he's not in hooves with horns. Yeah. Because if you're now, you get to see what his normal gait is like.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. But I think you'll like it. I think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, and again, it's a really good home theater experience. So
it's one of the next things we had. We're still watching Your Honor. When we're done with that, we're going to finish.
All right. All right. Steve, you want to grab another one?
Why don't we do Roadhouse?
Ooh. There we go.
Okay. So
don't adjust your glasses, everybody. It's just the pictures.
yeah. Not quite. Sorry.
We're working on that.
Yeah. Okay. So Roadhouse. It's Roadhouse. It is the Roadhouse. Roadhouse, the film. And presumably you've both seen it, both love it, even in spite of yourselves, I assume.
Yes.
In spite of myself. Kind of patting my life after this movie.
It is famously known as the best worst movie of all time. So which I found out after having seen it. Now, I've seen this hundreds of times. We all have. Everybody.
I always thought Double Deuce was just the, you know, what you thought of the movie.
Yeah, well, quite. Yes, indeed. So this is the new 4K edition that's just come out from, oh, I'm not sure who it's from. Can't remember. But
Kino Lorber, right?
Kino. Is it Kino? You know what? I've got it.
Might be Arrow.
Sorry about that. Right,
it's not Criterion.
No, it's not. No, that is true. In fact, it's just United Artists. It's MGM. Okay, that's interesting.
I thought Arrow did one though. Oh, somebody did another version.
Hmm. Oh, Vinegar Syndrome. Sorry, Vinegar Syndrome's on there.
I was going to say, because I'd have it on Kaleidoscape in 4K by now.
So it's MGM. So this is the 4K version from Vinegar Syndrome. Then it's a strange name for a place. Anyway. It's a very odd. Watch this. The film is the film. You know, now whether you like it or not. And if you don't, you should. Again, there is that thing again. Because it is every bit that this is a guilty pleasure, but it should be, and it's fine. And everybody accepts it, I think, on that level, if nothing else.
I think it's gone past guilty. Nobody feels guilty. It's
you know,
so
it was
much
nominated
fun.
For 3 Razzies, don't you?
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Worst actor, worst director, worst picture. Didn't win any of them. Now tell me this, guys, while we're talking about that then. So
It's because all the actors canceled each other out in this movie.
Well, tell me this, guys. Tell me this. Is it worse to be nominated for a Razzie and not win? Or is it better to be nominated and win? And the reason
don't want to win. That means you go up, don't you? Meaning you weren't as bad as the person that won?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know. But then does that mean that you were so bad you didn't even win?
Right.
No, because I guess it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Just like if you lose the Oscar, you're second place. The winner should be the worst. So it's the opposite. You can't go lower than worst.
So anyway, it didn't win anything.
I don't know. Ask Susan Lucci how she feels about being nominated and not winning.
Yeah. Well, So fun film. Great fun movie. The movie hasn't changed. And also, I think has aged like a fine wine. Okay. Or at least a cheap wine that you bought, at a corner store.
A box wine.
It's exactly as it always was. It's not got any worse. It's just as much fun as it always been. What is really good about this, and I'm very pleased to report, this looks incredible in 4K. This is a must buy for anyone that likes this movie. Because boy, oh boy, have they done some work on this. It's the original camera negative. It's a 4K native transfer. It must be because of how it looks. And it looks fantastic. Now, I put up pictures on Twitter. As anyone that's ever seen this movie knows, the flesh tones vary wildly throughout, and they're not really ever realistic. And I don't think they were ever meant to be. And funny enough, the director, I've been reading up on this quite a bit this week on IMDb, and the director said, this is a cartoon. It's supposed to look bright and day glow and not look realistic. None of this is supposed to be realistic. And when you watch it with that in mind, then suddenly all the flesh tones make sense. So they do very wildly, and they are exaggerated in the 4K because, again, the HDR and the wider color gamut is going to bring that out. But it brings out all of the detail as well, all of the very bright 80s outfits and all that stuff. And it just looks fantastic. It is really, really good. And night and day over the Blu-ray. There is no comparison between the Blu-ray and the 4K disc here. This is exceptional. And then the audio is again, it's the same mix as been on before, but it's very, very nice. It's big, it's wide, and again, up next to Neural X, it still sounds really good within the parameters of a low budget movie. I highly recommend this disc to collectors of 4K discs. That like this movie, this is the version to buy. Did you say therefore it's not on Kaleidoscape?
Not in 4K, no.
Have you got disc? Have you bought it yet?
Not yet.
I highly recommend it.
I did. Yeah. Oh no. I'm just listening to you. I'm like, if I could click and buy like I can on Kaleidoscape, I'd have it already.
It's really,
I know Amazon's good, but
yeah, it's never looked as good as this. And I spotted all kinds of things in the background that I've never seen before, like Patrick Swayze at the end of the bar when he first arrives at the Double Deuce.
Does he take his shirt off in this one?
Yes, he does. Yes, he's once or twice. Yeah, but there's a bit where he stood at the end of the bar. At the end of the bar, and when he's having his cup of coffee, when he first goes into the Double Deuce, he's just watching. And on the pillar where he is stood next to, there is something I never noticed before. Carved into that wood are the words "Buddy's Corner," which I've never noticed before. And it's an in-joke. And the reason it's an in-joke is his nickname was Buddy. Patrick Swayze's nickname was Buddy. And so Buddy's Corner is him where he stands when he first comes in. Again, stuff of IMDb. So you can now see it clear as anything in the 4K that I've never noticed it before.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff like that throughout. There's bits written on the wall. There's things on the wall. There's details in the vehicles that I've never noticed before. And you can now see it clear as day. It's like someone's just wiped the screen, It's really, really nice. This one is a no-brainer. If you like the movie, you've got a 4K setup, you're collecting physical media, buy it. It's that simple. It really is. I just, as a word of warning though, guys, I imported this, and the people from whom I imported it were saying that they believed it had gone out of print, but they managed to get hold of a copy, and I'm hoping it means they are still available. But it might be one of those ones you want to get on quickly, because if it does go out, it may become impossible to get hold of, like certain other movies we've talked about recently. So just as a word of warning, might be one of those to get sooner rather than later.
It's not saying it's available right now. It's all $74, $129 all on eBay. Amazon doesn't have it. That's that's the vinegar syndrome.
Yeah, exclusive. which is a special one. So don't get buying any of the other ones. If you want the best, this is the best.
Well, this one.
Well, sorry,
this one came out November 25th here.
Yeah, sorry, Wade Garrett is obviously the best, but this one is next. There's a Roadhouse quote for you. Anyway,
but yeah, the standard edition 4K. And that one is available for, and that's also the same native 4K transfer, but you can get that standard edition for $35, $34.99 on Amazon.
The reviews I've seen suggest the Vinegar Syndrome one is a new version, but I'm not an expert on the other ones. I'm only going.
Well, it's saying it's the same for, it's saying native 4K transfer HDR10. I'll bet you the Vinegar Syndrome is what they
do. You can buy it directly from their website right now. It says there's over 1,000 left in stock. It is $42.99 plus shipping. So you're going to pay $50 for it.
Yeah. But
it's not Dolby Vision.
Nope, not Dolby Vision. They're both HDR10, native 4K, HDR10, both DTS Master Audio 5.1. It looks like they're identical that way. Let me see. Let me see if the standard. Yep, they're both on 100 gig discs. Standard is 3-disc set. The Vinegar Syndrome is a 3-disc set. So it looks like it's the magnet class box limited edition 4K Ultra HD. It looks like it's the buy. It looks like it's a steelbook.
Vinegar Syndrome one isn't.
That's what it said. I'm reading Vinegar Syndrome exclusive. Vinegar Syndrome Ultra Magnet Clasp Box Limited Edition.
And then just a normal plastic box.
Oh, it just says magnet clasp. So I'm sorry. You're right. I'm not saying it is a steelbook, but I think it's just like a steelbook edition. Like it's just the cover that looks like it's different.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
No, that was mine. Yeah. I didn't say it as clear as I should have.
But that's the headline, though, is buy it. You like the movie? Get it. It's great. That's what I would say.
Let's see what they say on Blu-ray.com. Yes.
It's a bit more than I like to spend for a Blu-ray. $50,
a lot, isn't it?
$50 is a lot. But
Yeah. But it's Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Roadhouse. it says it looks like that's the Roadhouse is about pop. I'm just trying to read what Blu-ray.com. A lot of times they'll say it's the same one. It's like Vinegar Syndrome returns to the title with a UHD release sourced from a 4K scan of the original camera negative HDR viewing experience. That's been achieved. It doesn't say that it's different or the same. I don't know. Source is in good condition. I don't know. So
yeah,
be interesting to compare. It's expensive to compare.
that is true. But it's very, very cool. Really, really
awesome.
Good.
Awesome. All right. Let's see. What do I have next? What should I do one next? Or because I got a few here. Let's see. Why don't we do, John?
I just want an excuse to talk about it again.
Yeah. What is it? No. We're going to wrap up with that bad boy.
He's been teasing us all week, Steve.
Yeah.
And you know he didn't like it. That's why he's teasing us.
I didn't dare text to ask.
I know. You guys are funny. All right, I'll do this one since Steve also has this one. So why don't we do that? And we'll talk a little bit more, a little comparison here. All right, ready to go at this one? Wanted. All right, so I watch Wanted on the Kaleidoscape as well as the same format that Steve watched it on, which was the disc. So disc had it in 4K HDR with DTS Master Audio 5.1. Kaleidoscape had it on 1080p high def with DTS, the same DTS Master Audio 5.1. So right out of the gate, the audio is awesome from beginning to end. The DTS master audio on both tracks is fantastic. Why don't we talk, Steve, why don't you talk your side of it first, what you thought of the movie, what you thought of the home theater experience, and then I'm going to get into upmixing.
Okay.
A video source.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the film first. Now, I am mindful of the fact this is the Bright Side HT podcast, so I'm going to be.
Why does Steve always have to preface stuff with tempers? That? I'm seeing a trend here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a reason for it. So I saw this film. This is 2008. This came out, and I saw this film. And everyone seems to say the same thing. By the way, everyone remembers it. Everybody's seen it. No one's seen it for a long time. So I saw it. I had the Blu-ray. I remember enjoying it. I think I saw it in the cinema. I think I did. And then I got the Blu-ray. I remember enjoying the Blu-ray. And then promptly kind of forgot about it, until relatively recently when, you know, it resurfaced and said, this movie's coming out. And I was like, yeah, wanted, of course. So I watched it again and this is, I think the third or fourth time I've seen it, I think. And as a movie, it has all the stuff you'd want, lots of action. Apparently it's based on a comic. Now that I didn't know. Again, I've been reading up on IMDb, and in the comic, they all wear superhero outfits, which they eschewed in this because they just didn't think it was appropriate. Interesting that it's the same year as Iron Man came out, but there it is. So I haven't seen it for a long time. I rewatched it with modern eyes. So obviously everything that's changed since 2008 and a lot has. And I found the film very troubling. There is a subtext to this, which I find deeply troubling, actually. And I couldn't ignore it as much as I tried. And then lots of people on Twitter have said to me, "Since just it's an action film, who cares?"
Yeah.
But actually, I think there is a nasty subtext to this that I was struggling with throughout. And without getting too into the nitty gritty ditch, because I know it's not what we're here to do, but. But to me, this was almost an incel call to arms. And I was really struggling with kind of the main character's initial kind of approach to life, and then what happens to him, and how then things change, and how he then relates to other characters and other characters relate to him. I won't go into that anymore because we don't need to know. And I found that very troubling. And it was enough to really put me off the movie. By the time it ended,
but you didn't see that before, like
not like this.
Is that because of the movie or because of like you've grown as up. A person?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Not, that's yeah, what I meant. Right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
This is what I say. Watching it with modern eyes, it's not me saying that the movie has changed. The movie's always been the movie.
Right. Right.
Watching it now with more modern sensibilities, and frankly, I've just got older and I've matured. All right. You know, like a box of wine. although I still didn't have any hair, so I found that stuff really troubling and very unpleasant and actually quite icky. So I struggled with that throughout the movie, and it did definitely affect how I enjoyed the film. And by the end of it, I didn't particularly enjoy it. Having said that, there are good action sequences in it. There are creative and inventive action sequences in it. There is stuff in here that is quite clever in terms of how it's been filmed and how it's been done. Mm. And then to move to the sort of home theater side of it from that, this was clearly being shot with on film sometimes and digitally others. And subsequently, I've read that actually this is the first movie that used some of the Red Epic HD digital cameras. So you can tell because the stuff in the office is clearly shot on film and is grainy as hell. And then a load of the action scenes and the CGI stuff's been shot digitally. And that stuff looks great. The stuff in the office I found noisy and the grain was quite heavily present. Whereas once you skip to digital, of course, all the grain goes away, all the detail comes out, and it looks really nice. So I think overall it looks great. I think I agree with you, DJ. It sounds really good, especially the last fight sequence. I think that, you know, the last action sequence in whatever it is, the castle, citadel, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
fraternity. It that whole last sequence sounds incredible. There's a big jump, I think, in the way in which it presents the sound. So as a disc, it's really good. It's decent on the whole. It's decent sound, no worries. Video, there are some issues in the office bits, but generally looks really good. For me, the problem is the subtext and the story, which is unpleasant, in my opinion, just my opinion. And again, looking at it through modern sensibilities. So if you like the movie and you still think you like the movie, then I would recommend it. But I think you might want to revisit it before you buy the disc, maybe to see whether you as in people listening, watching, whether you might also share some of my sensibilities on it and then not be too keen. But there it is. You know, it again, different horses for different courses.
There you go.
What did you think, Deej?
I loved it. I have not grown up, apparently, because I have no idea what you're I'm like, it was just fun. It's just like a supernatural take. It looked like, I mean, obviously it's what, 9 years later after Bullet Time came out, but we have a little bit of that in here and you see that right at the beginning. So like, I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, what is going on here? You know, right in the opening scenes. But yeah, the sound I thought was like very hefty, a lot of nice bass in it. I think it's just a fun movie. It's got all of the, you know, like you said, the action sequences, everything you're looking for in an action movie. It's way over the top because it's supposed to be, you know. What was fun is they took the Matrix and they tried to make it real world and ground it into the real world. Like, you're not in the Matrix, but you're going to be able to do all the things they do in the Matrix in the real world. And they even gave it some like grounded in reality, like how do you bend bullets and stuff, like all of that. Like, what? And even how it's like, it's because your heartbeat's going, like you're seeing things so fast, which that's a legit thing in sports. Like, the greater athletes see things, they see what we can't even perceive. They see at a slower rate, right? Which is, and this movie is taking that to another level, a completely other level. So that premise, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with and really enjoyed it. But what we were talking about and what I thought was interesting on this, and I don't know why this is the first movie that I've done this with and noticed it, but the 4K version that came out is just, it's an upmixed version. And I think a lot of it stems from like, you know, Mikey Schramm's question and people commenting about the Lumigen and stuff. And now it's just, you know, things pop in your head that you didn't think of before. And this was upmixed. And this one, I went back and now here's where it gets really interesting. Kaleidoscape only has it in 1080p, but I'm playing it through my Kaleidoscape, through the Lumigen, and the Lumigen puts this out in 4K. It upmixes it for me. Would there be a difference? And I watched this movie, I'd say literally more than twice, but I would say like, in conjunction, like I'd watch a scene, I'd switch over to the other version and watch that scene. Then I would switch over to the other version, watch another, like say 5 minutes or a few minutes. If I saw some details I wanted to go back and forth on, I can honestly say I was losing track of which version I was watching. They're that close to looking the same. Now here's what's really interesting. IP Man, also upmixed. That one wasn't close. The 1080p version did not upmix as well as the 4K version did. That I found interesting. Because
I wonder if it's something to do with digital photography, though, Deej. I wonder if there's inherent detail within that image that can be drawn out through an upmix that something
that regardless of where the upmix was.
I mean, I don't know, but I wonder if that's it.
So one scene that I did in particular over and over, and it kept getting me stumped, was the scene when Morgan Freeman is talking to what's his name, and they're in his room, which turns out you're like, this is your father's room, right? And that you got some windows in the background, really, you know, very bright light coming from the back. Morgan Freeman in one shot, he actually looks kind of hazy. Like, it's not a sharp edge around him at all. And I saw that and I was like, oh, there's the difference. And I go to the other version. Well, I was watching the 4K version. I went to the Glidescape and it was exactly the same. So, and then I kept going back and forth because then there's a close up in that scene. They go to a close up on Morgan Freeman. Okay. You're looking kind of up at him from where, what's his name is sitting. What's the guy's name?
It's McAvoy.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, McAvoy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's looking up at him. But anyway, so you get a close up of Morgan Freeman and the camera goes blurry for just a split second on him. Like, it's just like, it's just, almost like it's in an autofocus situation. I'm like, oh, okay. I bet you that's not in the, oh yeah, I am watching the 4K. And it is in the Kaleidoscope. And I went back and forth. Same with Morgan Freeman's. This time I was watching the Kaleidoscope, the 1080p, and I'm looking at his Morgan Freeman on that same close-up. I'm looking at his shirt, okay? Really bright. The white in it is really bright. The shadow coming off the back looked to be a little bit blown out. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm losing it. Went to the 4K, same thing. It's just the way the shot is. And I was, but you see what I mean? I'm trying to look for something. I'm trying to find a difference. That was one I went to really to the nitty gritty on, and I couldn't, because there's wood, you know, the wood floors. They show him walking on the floor and the light coming through and the shadow coming off of the bedpost, which is going down to the floor. A rainbow effect, like there's a prism effect coming off onto the floor. Gorgeous in both versions. I was like, oh, it's got to be brighter in one of them, right? Nope. Gorgeous in both versions. So all of this, I mean, it's so close. But then you go to IP Man, the first one in 4K, and I remember it's crisper. It's nicer. It's just, and it, again, if you weren't AB in it, you probably wouldn't tell a difference, but you can tell a difference in that one. It's very close, but you can tell a difference. This one is so damn close. I'm the one doing it. It was like a blind test because I kept losing track which one I was in because it's literally just a button to go back and forth between the two. So very interesting. And I think we're doing the same thing with the DTS when we're up mixing with Neural X or whatever. It's like all of these old tracks, unless they actually go back and remix the entire thing and put the audio where they want, I think they're really just upmixing it like what we do, because that's why our, you know, Neural X or Dolby Surround upmix sounds so good in these rooms, even though we're just listening to a 5.1 mix.
Hmm. Tell me this. So the Lumagen from the Kaleidoscope in this case, that's not producing pseudo HDR, is it? Or is it? Is that bringing HDR from everything, or is that just...
In a way, okay. Because what it's going to do is it's going to take your display regardless. And this is where I think they're trying to advertise Mad VR, especially, but Lumagen does too, is they're trying to tell you that even on a normal, like a television, you can get some benefits from this. But I think the televisions do a good job with it anyway, like yours, Steve, or something, you know, where they can tone map and upmix a lower quality. But what ends up happening, especially with a projector, is these processors, HDR is just giving you a better, it's giving you, you're getting the same, your projector or your display can only go so dark and it can only go so bright. HDR just divides it up into a finer increments in between, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, what these processors are doing is they're dividing it up for you on a tone mapping basis, like the JVCs do on their version. The displays, like the TVs, they're doing it as well. But what happens is when you take a 1080p source, what they're going to do is they're going to try to divide that up for you. It's clearly not the same as native HDR. because you want that. And there is a difference there. And I could see that that's like a night and day. But it is going to map that so that you can see a better gradation than you would otherwise of the darks to the lights. So, it's not giving you HDR, but it's trying to give you the best gradation you can have for your display.
And what about the wider color gamut? Is it changing that? Presumably not.
Yes. It is. And it's like when I pull it up on my, I was going to try and grab an image, but I couldn't when I tried to blow it because it's so small on my screen when I show it up here, but it'll tell me like I just hit menu and it'll tell me what's going in and what's coming out. And it tells you 1080p going in, and then it'll tell you the 38 whatever going out. Rec 709, and then Rec 2020 coming out. So it's actually converting it for you. Now, it can't make extra colors, but it's converting it to that
standard.
Standard. But at the same time, if you saw the difference of what 2020 to 709 is, when you look at the actual triangle, it's like the triangle's like this on 709 and then the triangle's like this on 2020. So it's like,
yeah,
what the perceivable, you want better, you want more, but at the same time, it's,
Yeah. Well, that might account then for some of the closeness between the two, but it is interesting that it would be like it on Wanted and then not like it on Ip Man. But yeah, I wonder if some of that is the digital photography, because Ip Man, certainly the first one, was shot on film. And Wanted, the bits in the office are definitely on film, but they were experimenting with this movie with digital photography. And so that detail is there and that's inherent. And I wonder if that can be pulled out by a decent, video processor. So maybe that's what's happening, but who knows, but it is cool because that suggests there are some times when the 1080p is just as good.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. You're only as strong as your weakest link in all aspects, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you only have, a 65-inch television, you're probably not going to be able to flesh out a lot of this stuff anyways, because it's just too small. And it's like you need to get to a bigger television to be able to tell the difference. Aaron and Braden were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, we don't need 4K. And they're right. Most people don't need it. And I forgot to call Ara, but I listened the next week and somebody wrote in exactly what I was thinking. He's like, I have a projector. We do need 4K because there is when you go to 4K, now their basis was HDR is more important. We don't need 4K. If you could have 1080, save the bandwidth and do great HDR on 1080, more people would enjoy that. And they're 100% right. And for streaming services, that would be a better way to go because you would save bandwidth and you would still get a great image. But on a projector, you could tell the difference between 4K and 1080 because it's just, it's literally, you can see the pixels in 1080 on a 110-inch screen, but you can't see the pixels at all on a 4K. On a 110-inch screen. So the bigger you go, the more important that is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But most important is the HDR. So.
Yeah. I agree with that. But although I would say even on a 75-inch screen, I can absolutely discern the difference between a well-off 1080p disc and a 4K disc. And I've got some 4K discs that don't have HDR. And yet the detail levels are dramatically different to the Blu-ray. Yeah. But then again, it's all about size of screen and viewing
distance. And then the larger you go, the more dramatic it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. 100%. So you're at that limit. That's why I said 65. It's usually 65 is the cutoff where you can't really tell a difference. Up and above that, you can tell the difference. But 65, 55, I think it was 55 was the cutoff for 720. You won't know that it was 55. You can't tell 720 from 1080. So, That was a fun one though. It was so much fun because instead of just watching the entire movie from beginning to end, I was like, okay, back it up, watch it again in this version. So,
but have you seen it, John?
I've seen it again a long time ago.
That's what everyone says.
Yeah. I don't really remember. Again, I don't know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it in a long time. So,
I can't wait to talk to you about it. We're going to have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's
going to have to hash that one out.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a long conversation. I had a long conversation with a friend of mine the next morning after having watched it. And then, and you know, and he was, well, yeah. And he had the same thing. He was like, I haven't seen it for ages. But as we were talking about it, he's like, yeah, do you know what? Yeah, that is not good, is it? Yeah, right. You know, he might have just been humoring me. Nice. It's entirely possible. So there we go. But as a dumb action movie, if you want to just disengage your brain, that's fine. That's all good. But as I said, unfortunately, I was just struggling with my bit of it. But you know, there it is. It's not, you know, it's a movie that people, I think, remember affectionately. So us talking about it might well mean that more people now revisit it.
Hopefully. I really enjoyed it. And I'm, you know me, I'd say I leave my brain in the door, but I'd have to have one to leave. So
you said
I'm learning that week after week with you two. So
there's just sometimes you can disengage from it. Sometimes you can just ignore it. But other times it's there and you can't. It's like, you know, glowing lights. You know, you just can't turn away from it. And that was me with me watching it. Anyway, and I'll review it now.
Do we want, let's see, you've only got one left, right?
Yeah.
Steve. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So why don't we let John go?
Yeah. I'm curious about this one.
And, I did this one as well, but, John, you could start us off with this.
You watched this too?
Yeah. Jen and I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this is Ghosted. It's streaming on Apple TV. It's 4K HDR Dolby Vision. If you have it, Dolby Atmos. So here's the good. It's Apple TV, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, HDR. It looks and sounds fantastic, just like you expect from Apple TV. Again, not quite physical media levels, but this has all the requisite booms and explosions and gunshots that you would expect from a movie like this, and they all sound fantastic. It looks fantastic. The HDR looks great. It's really, really good. Ana de Armas and Chris Evans have great chemistry. They're great, super fun to watch. There are a whole bunch of really fun cameos in here that I will not spoil at all because it definitely takes away from the viewing experience. And all of that is worth the price of admission for this because it's super fun. All that being said, it's really stupid.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. There's plot holes everywhere. I saw somebody, a Jordan Carpenter, I think, put a tweet up talking about it as a very by the numbers action comedy. And that's exactly how I would describe it. You can see everything coming from the first minute of this movie. But it is a lot of fun. And I think they're great together. They've done multiple movies together now, and I think they have, you know, good chemistry together. And it's fun, but definitely leave your brain at the door. DJ, pick one up at the store first and then leave it at the door.
I'm spending my money elsewhere.
Because this is just, it is very dumb, but it is a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'll go back and watch it again, but I did enjoy it. The scene on the bus is great. It's a great home theater scene, and definitely worth seeing. So, I don't know how you felt about it. I imagine similarly.
So I watched it as well. Yes. Yeah. And it is. And just for people at home watching on the YouTube, this is what happens when somebody has to send you their image across the country.
Yeah, I was going to say, why does mine look so red and yours looks so yellow?
And this is what it looks like when you get to do it directly. So, we're going to have to talk, maybe email the images so that we get the full image. Because poor John, I was like,
I don't know why that's so red.
I don't either. But that's the way it looked in the notes. And that's what it looked like.
That's the way it looks in my picture.
Yeah. So, no, I just take it with my Apple iPhone and just.
Well, I do too.
No, I know. So I'm going to have to talk. No, but anyways, it is. Jen and I laughed. We laughed so hard. We had such a great time with it. I'm like, this movie has everything for the couple that has like the dumb jock and the sentimental, you know, woman and the sentimental guy.
Except
that's
she's
dumb
the
jock.
Dumb jock and he's the sentimental woman.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny is I didn't read the synopsis. I knew nothing about this other than I saw the trailer and it didn't even give it away there, but the synopsis gave away weight. I was like, I didn't even know that. You're like, I saw everything coming. I'm like, I saw most things coming, but at the very beginning, I did not see the entire thing coming. Had I read the synopsis, I would have, right? Because you would have been like, all right, when is that going to take place? What's in the synopsis? I didn't. I was just going along with like the first 10 minutes of the movie. I thought that's the way it was going to be the whole way. I thought that was fun. I thought, like you said, they have fantastic chemistry. Yeah. You're like rooting for them. And it was so much fun. And his family, that, like you said, the cameos throughout, like you just can't wait for the next one. When who else is going to pop up around the corner?
Right.
It's awesome. And the action, and as a stream, we're getting, it's like, what was it? Lost City, that just like it with Channing Tatum.
And yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt makes it. Cameo in that. Yeah. But there's a cameo in this that I think is like the he's cameoing in everything. Apparently. It's so
well, know who did this movie?
Who?
The people that did this movie did his movies as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'll say.
Okay. I figured it, but
that's why he's in.
I don't want to give it away. John and I, you and I can. I said something to Jen after watching the movie too that I don't want to give away because it'll give away a bunch of cameos. But we'll talk afterwards. But definitely check it out. It's, you know, Apple TV Plus too. So really good quality, really good quality on this. So production wise, and. This is one that you'd be like, this would have been fun to see in the theater. This
I
is
think
a fun,
it's fun.
Date
it's
night
worth,
movie.
It's worth the 2 hours, but it is dumb. You know.
Oh God, yeah. Oh
it's,
yeah.
You know, it's Cocaine Bear dumb, but it's But
all
you know
the
how I felt about that.
So. This isn't a spoiler, but all the it kind of is, but it's not a big deal. But all the Apple product placements, in there, like the trackers. They're all Apple. Like, you can do this with your phone. I was just
boy. It is Apple TV.
Exactly. So it was great. So I recommend it. And so does John.
Yeah.
Look at that. But yeah, leave your brain in the door if you got one. If you got one, people, leave it.
Yeah.
So. All right. Let me do. I have two left. So I'll do one, then Steve, and then we'll wrap up with my last one. Let's see. I need to pull up another image here. While we were talking, I didn't get to do this. So, all right, I did. I did Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We talked about it briefly last week, and audio wise, I was wrong.
Oh, really? Because I've heard a lot of people down on it say the same thing you said last week.
Uh-huh. And you know why they're saying it? Because when you watch it on the stream, which I did, it is bad. Okay. Now, to be fair, I didn't watch it on the stream last week. I was talking about the Kaleidoscape version. But the scene that I went to, or the scenes that I went to, they didn't have a fantastic bass scene in them. And I wasn't into the movie. I had no reference of anything. I just went in and went, this seems a little flat in here. It's still a great scene. And I've watched the scene since. And I've gone back later and watched it since. And then when I compared it, of course, to the stream, it's just ridiculous. The difference. I think, like I said last week, it's the HDR is must own. This is one of those discs that it's just ridiculous and how good it is. Now, when you go to the stream for the HDR. Now, you know, when we see movies on the stream and we say like Thor, Love and Thunder, that looks good on the stream and it looks good on the disc because it's such a bright movie. It's such a high contrast movie that you're like, okay, it's pretty good, but you do get a bump on the disc. This one here, it's so dark that when you watch it on the stream, the brights aren't as bright and the darks aren't as dark. And part of that is, I believe, they're just not sending you the dark enough image. Like, they're not telling it to be that black. But it's also, when your brights aren't bright enough, you don't get perceived contrast because it doesn't go bright enough. It's not as bright. And that there's one scene, I don't want to give anything away, but at 14 minutes, basically, this is Quantumania. They go into the quantum realm, okay? So in 14 minutes, they go down to 14 minutes, 44 seconds, they go down into the quantum realm. It's a fantastic demo scene. But the imagery that you're getting in the picture, it's like the brights are brighter, so you get, it's more 3D-like. And it was just, you could, when you went back and forth, it was as clear as day. You could see like the bright images. The opening scene of the movie was really, because there's not a ton going on, it's very dark. They open the movie in the quantum realm and there's some gunfire going on down there, a weapon fire, I should say. And when they're fired, when you watch it on the kaleidoscape, you see you have to squint your eyes. It's so bright. You're like, whoa. And then their faces, more detail, because it's brighter. The darks look blacker because it just looks better. You have a higher contrast. You have a better visual dynamic range. Same is said for the audio. Much better dynamic range in the audio. And then you go to, and everybody knows it's in the trailer, Bill Murray's in the movie. At 30 minutes and change, you get the Bill Murray entrance. And I was like, this is absolutely insane. It actually moved something on my wall on my left side of my room from the bass. It's a demo scene in my notes, I put bleeping demo scene for sure. It's ridiculous. There's a ship flies over you. You get the bass, you get pans around the room, there's a score, there's music to it, there's modern music to it. I mean, it's fantastic. And the bass in that scene, you're like, aha, this is, I mean, it's awesome. Awesome scene at 30 minutes and change. I forget what it was. But then when you go to these other scenes, maybe there's not as much bass on some animals or something stomping, but we're in the, and that's where I started to think, John, maybe you were right last week, and maybe it's like, okay, they're in the quantum realm, maybe they're not as heavy, I don't know. There's still bass there. There's tactile feels throughout this movie when you sit down and watch the entire thing. And I am not a huge fan of the, you know, Ant-Man series. They're my least favorite. He's my least favorite character to rewatch these movies. This one is not. This one, it is fantastic, and it is both visually and audibly fantastic. But I can see why people are talking. Unless you're watching it right now, the only place you could see it physically would be on the kaleidoscape,
right?
And on the stream, it is as flat as all. I mean, it's crazy how much different it is. I think people are going to be very surprised. I don't think it's as good a movie as Maverick. As movie wise, to be able to say, I wouldn't pay the $19.99 so that you can compare. I would just wait till it shows up on Disney Plus anyways. When it gets there, and then get the disc and compare the two. That's a question I had for you guys. Is this the first one to get the rental before Disney Plus? Didn't most of them just go directly to Disney Plus later?
Yeah, post-pandemic. I mean, Black Widow went straight to Disney Plus, didn't it? And you had to pay for that. But most of them have been theatrical, then Disney Plus, then disc shortly thereafter.
Then disc.
Yeah.
It's usually I get it on Kaleidoscape the same time everybody gets it on Disney Plus. That's the Disney mantra. This one here, actually, I was surprised it dropped, and I thought it was on Disney Plus, but I had to buy it on iTunes. And I don't ever remember doing that with Thor Love and Thunder. I didn't with any of the other ones.
Yeah, those ones definitely hit Disney Plus, then the disc thereafter. I mean, this one isn't out on disc here until the 22nd of May. I was just looking. So we've got quite a long wait before we get it on disc here. But that's still before Disney Plus, as I understand it. So I think Disney Plus is really going to be after the physical release. I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So,
but we know that, I think they're remapping their model, their business model there.
Oh, yes. We know that. We know that.
Yeah, we do. That's why I brought it up. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to experiment with both of them, and you'll see what's going on here and what the difference between streaming and physical is. And this one here, I'm telling you, it's like the, what you're getting visually. This is the first one where it's that big of a difference. Some of them have been pretty close, but I think it's so dark in the quantum realm that it really, really, you need, it doesn't feel dark at all in the quantum realm. I mean, it does, you're supposed to feel, but I mean, you get some really beautiful imagery, and it's, like I said, it's practically 3D. Like it's great. I love it. I loved it. And I was happy to go back and forth after watching the whole thing on Kaleidoscape. And then I want to get back at it again. It's that good. It is that much fun in the theater.
Well, I really enjoyed the movie. I liked the film the first time I saw it, so I can't wait to see it again. And then, you know, with the disc, because I was a bit disappointed last time when you said, oh, I'm a bit worried. It's a bit Ragnarok-y, and thinking, oh, no. But actually, so to hear that you really enjoyed it and the bass is there is music to my ears. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I think you'll understand what I'm talking about when you get the disc. There's some scenes that you'll be like, oh, I would have liked a little bit more there. But by the end of the movie, those are so few. And I think I saw a couple of them. They're so few and far between that the bass that you do get, you forget by later on in the movie, forget you're looking for bass because you're being hit with it.
Yeah. Oh, great. I'm looking forward to it.
So, I was disappointed in myself, but at the same time, that's what can happen when you just pick and choose, and maybe you just picked and choose the wrong scenes. So you really got to take it all in. So, all right. What do you got next? Oh, Steve, your last one here.
Oh, yeah. The last, but very much definitely not least, the Stone Cold 24 karat classic that is Midnight Run.
I haven't seen this in forever.
Now, I'm hoping you're both going to tell me that this is one of your favorite films that you forget to mention is one of your favorite films.
I don't forget to mention it. It is one of my favorite films. I talk about it a lot. Actually, I just watched it last year with my wife, who had never seen it.
So, and what did she think of it? Did she enjoy it?
She enjoyed it. I don't think as much as I do, but she enjoyed it. But yeah, I love this movie.
Having got the 4K disc, I was trying to persuade another person to watch it with me, or two other people to watch it with me, and I showed them the trailer. And at the end of it, they were both like, what a load of crap. And I could not persuade them to watch it with me. So I watched it on my own. But I have seen this film infinite number of times.
Yeah.
And I've owned it on everything that it was ever released on. So, you know, be it VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, and now the 4K disc. And I'm very, very pleased to report it looks amazing. And it sounds really good as well. It's a original camera negative 4K. So this is not upmixed. Up converted, whatever you want to call it. So it's original camera negative. You've got the grain that you would expect, but all this extra detail, all this extra stuff coming that you know, really was not seen before. And whilst it's still only DTS HD 5.1 upmixed to Neuralex, the score from the very beginning just goes right out across the screen. Like you're watching it on a, you know, 500 inch screen, not just on a, you know, on your normal, because it's the soundstage is big and it's wide and it's really, really good. So the movie's as fantastic as ever. It hasn't aged a day. And Martin Brest, of course, who directed Beverly Hills Cop as well as this, you know, it's just as timeless. You could watch this film, I think, in another 100 years from now and still enjoy it, you know, if we're not around, you know what I mean? And still just enjoy the story and the way it plays out.
It's so good. You can be dead and enjoy it.
Yeah, right. And you can haunt it. You know,
watch it from the grave.
Yeah, that's the only way. It's the Evil Dead meets Midnight Run.
That's how we're going to get Steve to watch Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah. Man. No, not a chance. I'll have me rising from the grave.
Not even dead.
Stop. Yeah. If anything's going to bring me back from the afterlife, it'll be that. So it's fantastic, and it's such a good film and a really, really good disc, and I recommend this all day long. This is you probably gathered, I've had four discs arrive from the US in this past week, and yeah, all four are the ones we've talked about today. Right. and this one I saved till last because I wanted to watch it, you know. I love this movie, and it's fantastic. So, you know, it, when it's a decent price, I had to pay quite a bit for it, but when it's a decent price, then pick it up for sure. It's great. Definitely recommend it.
All right. I'm going to have to grab that. I want Jen to see it, but same like you, John, with Lydia. I'm like, I don't think she has any interest in it. It's such movie. It's such a fun movie.
She liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, she liked it, but I don't think she liked it as much as I like it. Wow. I was laughing through the whole thing, and I've seen all the jokes 100 times. And she wasn't really laughing like I was.
Yeah.
But
such a good film.
I don't think Jen's ever seen it. That's why I'm like.
Yeah. Well, she, like I said, she hadn't either. And I was so surprised that she had never seen it that I watched it right away. I was like, nope, we need to stop what we're doing to watch this movie.
The real crime here, though, is that there was never a sequel.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was ever a film that could have been a franchise and would have been just as good, and you want to see these people, that would have been fantastic. Yeah.
Well, I don't really think those actors, these guys, did franchises, did they?
This was before
franchises were a big thing.
Well, yeah, and yet Martin Brest had done Beverly Hills Cop in 84.
Three Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, the second Beverly Hills Cop 2 came out the year that this was released, albeit a different director, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, there'd been talk about it. And look, if Robert De Niro can make Meet the Parents and then Meet the Fuckers and all that. And I'm careful I say that.
Right. But that's why it came later. Like, you know, 80s was, I'm not saying there weren't any then, but it was very few and far between. And like you said, like Lethal Weapon, but that started even Lethal Weapon. It was kind of like trickle in between. It wasn't until like this movie nowadays, it's guaranteed. They would have signed them on at the beginning with three movies.
Right.
Right. Yeah. As back then it was like, let's see how it does. And maybe we'll make another. And then, you know, nowadays it's already a foregone conclusion before they even shot the first one.
Right.
Yeah. But it's such a shame. I would have loved to have seen more of these. You know, I mean, Stakeout. I mean, that film's fantastic. Emilio Estevez.
Yes, Stakeout. Yeah.
Did another Stakeout. Oh. They did a third one, didn't they, years later. But one and two were fantastic. And again, you know, because you wanted to spend more time with these characters. And it would have been great if they'd done that with this. The other one, by the way, that they should have done is Running Scared. With Billy Crystal.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That's another great film they should have done a sequel to as well. But anyway, in terms of buddy cop type movies.
Yeah. Buddy films.
It's an absolute crime that there was not a sequel to that and this. But you know, there we go. Well worth picking up, guys. Well worth
picking up. Nice. All right. That'll do it for this week, right, guys?
No.
What is there left?
Don't let him go, John. Don't let him go.
No.
How can I get out of this?
Can't.
Anybody want to read that? I tweeted this out. And, did you guys get excited when you read this?
Kaleidoscape retweeted it. Kaleidoscape retweeted
it. Yeah, I know. I was surprised. I was like, oh boy.
Oh, Kaleidoscape retweeted this?
They did?
Yeah, today to advertise for this show. And I'm like, oh no. Like, oh, the pressure's on.
Put us out of our misery.
All right, so I tweeted this out for people listening to the audio-only podcast, and if you're not on Twitter, now playing. And I'm like, Cocaine Bear, 4K, HDR, Dolby Atmos, at Kaleidoscape. That's why they saw it. Does the movie live up to the hype? Is the home theater experience must own? Rank in order of importance to you and your home theater. Fun, good acting, good story, and good HT experience. So before we get into it, guys, how do you rank those in your home theater? What's most important to you? Or go least important. We'll go backwards. What's least important to you out of that list?
John, you can go first.
Good acting?
All right, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, same here. I would say that. So we each have that at 4. All right, what do you got at number 3? Because I know, John, I got to imagine Steve's got great good acting at the bottom too, right?
Yeah, good story, mm-hmm. I guess. Well, yeah. I mean, what number 3 you're talking about?
Yeah, you're
yeah,
least
I think
important.
I still think good story is the third. Number 3. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I might switch those two. I might then have fun next and then good story, because you don't always have to have fun.
True.
You know, Schindler's List, All Quiet on the Western Front, they're not fun, but they're really good movies.
True.
And you can have then the home theater experience as well.
This is where it gets fun. This is where we get the debate going. So, but I said, in your home theater, how many times do you rewatch Schindler's List in your home theater?
I've seen it twice since I've had it in 5 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. How many worse movies have you seen multiple times because it's a great home theater experience? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But of course, you then got to filter into length of movie and time and all the rest.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And that gets into like the story and stuff. But I'll watch length of movie. I'll sit down and watch like Endgame. I'll watch an hour of it and then come back to it later because it's just so much fun to experience. So yeah, for me, it's definitely, you know, acting bottom, story, and then, you know, for me, I'll go right to the next one. Fun and good home theater experience is the top, but I think those two go hand in hand. How about you guys?
Yeah, I agree. That's fine.
Yeah. Ideally, let's just have all of that in one.
Yeah, because
there are plenty of films that we have all that. So there we go. So we don't have
absolutely, absolutely. So that being said. Where does, and we'll show this. This should have been Tweaks of the Week, but I haven't been able to get it. This is an app that goes along with the Roomy remote. And it's meant to, like, you can send this to a television and make it a theater display, like a movie poster display.
But yeah, it also that link in the show notes.
Yeah.
The app store.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It's, in like, you could see at the top, it's like, if this was on a television that's outside, like I want to mount one outside my theater, it'll tell you what's playing inside, how much time's left and stuff. But I can also get that on my phone. And not only that, hopefully someday I'll have some more images, but like, if you're in there watching, you know, something on the Apple TV, it'll show like the Mandalorian's playing. Right. It's not just to the Kaleidoscape or to whatever movie you're watching. It mix whatever's playing through Roomy remote, it'll recognize on this app. It's pretty cool. It's made by Roomy. I think the app's made by Roomy remote too.
I can imagine that might get, obviously not you two fellas, but I can imagine it might get some gentlemen that are in the room on their own when the wives are out into some trouble.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if I want that playing on the TV out there.
Yeah.
I'm watching Mario Brothers. Honest.
Yeah.
It's not what the Roomy says.
So, all right, enough stalling. I've been trying to bright side that up as much as I can. Cocaine Bear on the Kaleidoscape. I'm the only one that's been able to see it in 4K and Dolby Atmos.
Better than both of us.
Now, John, you saw it streaming, right?
Yeah, Peacock.
Peacock. So. And Steve, disc?
I saw it. Oh, no, I saw it on a screener. So I saw it on a stream version as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't 4K. And the disc, they don't have a disc yet. And everybody's hoping for one.
It's still, as of right now, I've checked whilst we've been talking. It is just the 4K disc is still listed in the UK for the 29th of May.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping.
Hoping?
That's not
a I'm still going to have to revisit. So this movie, after the hype of you two, I don't really get into the hype.
Pause it for a second, DJ. Just pause it for a second. John, you know DJ better than I do.
Oh, he
is he going to like it or
no,
not like
it? He didn't like it at all.
But I think so.
But he's got a way better home theater. I can't even talk to the home theater experience, and neither can you. So I'm interested to see what he has to think about or what he says about that.
That's interesting.
DJ, I'm pushing play on you again. Then. Go on then.
Oh, thank you. I got unmuted. I got unmuted by my.
No, is it going to prove me wrong? Just to make me look dumb.
No, guys, John, you absolutely. I think you nailed it, and I swear, we don't do, there's no rehearsal here.
Oh, no.
We don't do any of this. I wrote this after seeing it, and I was just like, wow. And John, I think this says more about you and I. How you just said DJ has a way better home experience, home theater experience than what you guys got to experience. I came up after watching this movie, and you can ask Jen. I loved it. I had an absolute blast.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
I was laughing. It was a great home theater experience. The sound on it, and Steve, I think you mentioned the chain. Was it a chainsaw or something got whooshed around?
Oh, that was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, but there was one in here, and maybe that's what I was thinking of, but there was a whoosh that was a whew and went all the way around you. I was like, the Atmos in this, an absolute blast, super engaging. It had discrete sounds, the ambient sounds of like, the bugs, the frogs, do you guys know what peepers are? We have them out here. I'm not sure everybody has them, but they're like,
we have them here. It's a criminal offense. So they get arrested for, well, not that kind of peeper. Right,
Steve gets them off regularly.
Yeah, I bet he does.
Yeah, I think they were already doing that. That's what
that's why they were arrested.
Yeah, exactly. The winds and breezes, there's a lot of quiet, like some quieter parts of this. Because the people walking around acting in this absolutely bottom of the barrel. It was hysterical. It's just like, we're going to make this movie regardless. We got 20 minutes to do it. Everybody get out there and do it. But it was so much fun. But I thought the Atmos was fantastic. I mean, I'm not going to give it boxes of popcorn, but for what it is, the sound on this was just lots of great ambient sound, the discrete sounds, voices are moving around the room appropriately. Again, this was done after I upgraded my rear channels and stuff. So the voices matched, I would guess even better, but there are scenes where you don't know where people are and they're like, hey, what's going on over there? Or somebody's being, it's a bear. Right? Attacking people. People are being dragged off in different directions. Well, you get to hear them being dragged off in whatever direction they're going in. It was almost too good because you're like, bleh, you know? And because, you know, in movies, they try to make it like things you're not allowed to show. So they put it off screen. But then you get the audio and you're like, how come you can't do that off screen too?
Right.
Because it was so bad. It was a skateboard. Not a chainsaw. It was a skateboard somebody takes a skateboard and winds up with it. And when he does it, it goes, whoosh. I was like, holy crap. And I thought of you, Steve. It must've been the chainsaw. There's trees, right? So we'll call it a tree snack. The clarity of the character being eaten in that scene. Oh, so gross. And it's in the right rear, I think, to be exact. That's one of the ones that I'm talking about. And I literally thought on this one here, I was like, maybe I should go back to my NHTs and it won't be as clear. It's like, it was so bad. We'll call it an ambulance ride in the movie. It's like, there's some really cool music to go along with it. The score is great. The engine, the bear, the growl, the roar, everything that's going on. It was absolutely fantastic. And then I would say there's a waterfall scene. Again, no spoilers or anything like that, but there's a waterfall scene and the HDR looks great because it's at night. So if you've ever seen a movie with a waterfall scene at night, you have, it's very blue. You have the blue night sky, but then you have the water and the white of the white in the water falling. Lots and lots of detail. I thought it looked fantastic, but the sound of it, I swear, I was like, I've been to Niagara Falls, right? I've been behind the falls. And when you go back there, there's a temperature drop. And this was so good that I was like, I swear to God, felt the temperature drop. Yeah, you feel it like on your neck. You're like, the temperature dropped in here. So the scene ended and I went back to it and like temperature dropped again. I was like, that's fantastic. Like, that's awesome. Just so much fun. And the rumble in that scene too, because it's Falls coming over. Absolute blast. I love the story. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't given away. No, yeah. There was a part of it that was made me very hesitant to watch this in the first place. And then at the end of the movie, watching the whole movie, that's why I came up to Jen and I was like, it was gory. It was gross. It's a horror movie, but it's funny and it's a horror comedy. Yeah. But the story in it too, I thought they had a fairly, I don't want to say decent story, but there was a, you know, hey, well, we say it in my family, it's not a spoiler, but don't piss off Mama Bear.
Right.
And that's basically what the story was through two different aspects. And I had a lot of fun with it. So sorry to disappoint,
answer the question, yeah, no, from a few weeks ago.
It makes me excited to get the 4K disc, yeah, which I'll have to import from.
Well, yeah, as long as it's not a mistake. I'm hoping it's not a mistake. I really am. So, Deej, tell me this then. This is the question that I posed to you, or you asked me, and we talked about weeks ago when I first mentioned that I'd seen it. Did you feel sorry for the bear?
Of course. I always do. Of course.
The bear was having a great time.
Yeah, nothing to feel sorry about. The bear
was happy. Yeah.
Yeah,
the bear was loving life. But I still feel bad. Now he's got an addiction problem.
Yeah. What are you going to do when that coke runs out? That's the problem.
There's a scene, and I swear to God, and this isn't a spoiler.
I don't even want to go there because it's PG.
It's not a spoiler because I'm not going to tell you when the scene is or what happens, but the movie's based on a bear ingesting cocaine, right?
Right.
There's a scene, and I think both of you know the one I'm talking about when I describe it, where I swear to God it's an homage to Popeye because he ingests the cocaine in a certain way that is just like the cartoon Popeye, him getting it in through his pipe and then stands up and goes, bah, 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 and his fists go, bah, boom, bah, boom. It's like the same thing. He suddenly ingests it, or the bear suddenly ingests it, and then it's like boom, and like you boom, and the whole thing, you're like, wow. When I saw that scene, I was like, that's gotta be an homage to Popeye. I don't know why. That's what it looked just like, a scene from Popeye, not the, you know, the movie, the cartoon,
not the Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, not the Robin Williams movie, because they never did that with him. But
yeah.
Again, and I guess that's just me having so much fun with it. So
good. Well, there's hope for you. I'm really glad.
Yeah,
there is hope for you yet with creature feature horror comedies. Yeah. You know, John and I could probably list about 20.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's really, really good.
I did.
So I was with John. I thought John. I agree. I thought.
Yeah,
John,
I thought you were
nailed it. Yeah,
just but you'd have been like, what a load of how crap. Stupid it was.
Yeah,
and it was all of that. But
right,
so much fun.
But again, I think, and I think John nailed it with it before I said anything. I think John nailed it, and it's like if you can enhance something like this, much like Steve. I mean, not much like exactly like you with Lucy. Right. Mm. It's like you got nothing out of that. And then you see it in the way it's supposed to be seen. And you're like, wow, it's still the same story. It's still the same everything. But when you can enhance it like that and you're having fun, you're enveloped with it. And this is super enveloping with the sound and the picture. And I didn't even get into the picture, the 4K, the vibrancy of, I mean, you're out in nature, the greens, the trees, the detail, maybe a little too much detail, if you know what I mean. There's some, like, your darker reds and your brighter reds, not, you know, ooh. So the textures of their faces, the textures of their clothes, whether they're there or ripped or, it's almost, limbs.
It's almost like the delivery system made a difference, Deej.
Right. Keep whispering that. But that was the other guy's, like, okay. All right. Anyways, yes, we've always said that the delivery system can enhance the experience.
Okay. Steve, you and I liked it without any of that. So,
oh, yeah.
I know. But you're horror fans. And yeah.
No, it's going to be great. I mean, I hope this should be fantastic. So fingers crossed. As I said, I'm just worried it's a mistake and we're only going to get the Blu-rays. But we'll see. It's still on
Honestly,
Amazon
though, I think even after streaming it, I think even the Blu-ray would be a much improvement for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably. Absolutely. If that's what I have to get, then that's...
Definitely in the sound.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe the Blu-ray will come with the Atmos if the Blu-ray comes out, right? Because the Atmos exists. A 4K exists as well, obviously, if Kaleidoscape has it.
I was going to say, obviously, that's why I'm excited or I'm hopeful that it is coming. Even if it's just to, overseas, because they made it in 4K.
Right.
So.
All righty. That will do it. But one more. I mean, I still have it here. So it bears repeating. Takeover Tuesday this week was with Roseanne. And we're, if you want a chance to win some Prime Wireless Pro paired, powered spare. Prime Wireless Pro powered speakers, a pair of them, they come together. You go and listen to that podcast and you can find the ways to win. So, and you have 2 weeks to do so and just get that into me and let me know. And you can email me the code word and all that fun stuff. So, all right. I really appreciate that all in, hopefully we can get the donations up to go to the Heather Abbott Foundation. So, all right. Was that a good week, guys? Did you guys have fun?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to the listeners.
Oh.
No. Just kidding. Okay, I was talking to you guys. Well,
screw them. I had fun.
I know. Exactly.
What he said.
There you go. All right, then. There you go. So, all right. Thank you to everybody for watching. Thank you, everybody, listening. Everybody in the comments, all the comments. We didn't really get to. We were off on our own this week. We're very busy week. So, everybody, thank you for being patient. But I'll be back next week with another great conversation. I got our buddy Joe Klusnick. He's been on the podcast before. We're doing Takeover Tuesday next week. We have another charity we're doing, so looking forward to that. So check that out on Tuesday. And of course, we'll be back at it live on Tuesday. And, always podcast goes out on Friday. So thank you, everybody, for watching, listening, participating. What do we got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production. With theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.